United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Let's go! Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. It's the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. So now you know what mood I'm in today.
Yeah.
What?
Happy.
It's Friday.
Yeah.
It's Friday.
You didn't give yourself the day off, so.
Yeah. I started to because I got a cold. Somebody on the bus had a cold.
Oh. Well, I know it wasn't me. They had something else.
I didn't get that, but I got the cold.
Oh, my God.
Bring me down. I heard this song, but I never paid attention to it until this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I got to thank Elder Whitehead for this one.
Okay.
I was checking Facebook this morning, and he posted it. And I said, this is the song for the day. Hey, my prayers and thoughts go out to the Wagner family as they go to memorialize Yvonne Wagner this evening and tomorrow. God bless you. We love you. And hope we'll be there for you if you need us.
Absolutely.
It's open mic, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. If you want to call us locally, you can. The number is 330-781-9600. I'm Tracy, and Jeff is in the studio with me. Hey, Alabama, I hear you on the phone. Don't come up with
what's
that
up,
deep yet.
No, what's going on?
Hey, it's Friday.
Hey, check this out right here. I was listening to Tariq Nasheed, and he made a point about R&B music. And I find it interesting that you're playing Pharrell today because Pharrell is one of the producers that he was mentioning. He was just talking about how he noticed in the Grammys that all of the traditional African-American forms of music are now being dominated by Caucasians. And he
I
was
said
just
the
saying,
same thing.
And it's just kind of interesting. You know, we started with Timbaland and Pharrell going and producing songs for other people, and now they're coming in. And even though they may not be as good as black artists, they're going to get all the accolades because they're white.
No, that's not what it is. That ain't what it is.
Oh, okay.
That ain't what it is. I'm telling y'all, that's not what it is. See, this is the
issue.
What
is it then? Please enlighten me.
We don't put the time in. And when I said it, you got to put the time in.
No.
Listen to what I'm saying. I talked to a whole lot of skilled guys, and they got talent. But you got to put some major time in, and it's more than you got to put time into the business. You got to put time into the art. You got to put time into the technology, and you got to put time into the craft. And you got to sacrifice.
Hold on. Let me ask you a question, Tracy. So you're saying that the music, is Jeff in the old studio with you?
Yes.
Okay, so you're saying that the music industry, and I ain't gonna even get into Hollywood, because we know they unfair, but you're saying that the music industry is a fair industry that...
No.
Kendrick
that's
Lamar
not what I said.
Is,
no, no, that's not what. No, that's not what I said, Alabama. That's
Lamar.
Not what I'm saying.
Come on now.
That's not what. That's
go
not
ahead.
What I said. I said we don't put the time in. You got to pay your dues. Put your time in. Put your nose to the grind. As a matter of fact, you might have to bury your nose. You got a network. It is politics all day long.
Hold on.
Jeff,
you
am I lying?
R&B artists. You know how many R&B artists and rappers? You know how many R&B artists and rappers are out there grinding, putting mixtapes together, trying to network, meeting with different executives, trying to get their album out there, trying to do...
You missed my
it's
point.
Not
you missed
like,
my point.
You know how many people I know...
You missed my
point.
Point.
You know how many people I've met in Atlanta that are serious artists? They do, that's all they do. They work part-time jobs at night, but they trying to be artists during the day. It's not like that. It's about when they want to make you... It's, I heard a guy tell me in the industry, he's like, look, I don't care how your music sounds. If they want to make you famous, they can make you famous. They want to make you sell.
Now that's
like
true.
A spigot.
The hell you saying? But no.
Make
this
a
is what I'm saying.
About a nursery rhyme.
Alabama.
But
that's true.
If they want to make you famous, they can.
Alabama. That's true. I'm with you on that. You're right. If I want to make you famous, I can. But if you want to be famous, if you want to be of the best, you got to put your time in. And our young people don't want to do that. That's why everything is changing.
Tracy, that's an insult. You can't say that across the board. So everybody
I,
that,
listen,
oh,
I
me,
didn't say
everybody. Everybody that wins a Grammy, like Macklemore and what's the guy, the white R&B singer that everybody's supposed to, you know, it's black people that are saying him under the table. So you telling me he out working all them,
yeah,
being
that,
white don't have nothing to do with it.
That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, you listen, I don't know if your mama told you, but let me tell you what my mama told me. She told me as an African-American, I had to be better, I had to stand taller, I had to get up earlier, I had to go to bed later, and I had to be the best, just because I was black.
Yeah, but
and
in music, awards
and hold on, Alabama,
you
don't know my background. What I'm trying to tell you is they don't want no more, you know, they don't want any more Snoop Doggy Dogs anymore. As masterful as he is. They don't want the drama coming behind it. But it is a politics thing. And you have, and everything, and as I say all the time, politics is tied to everything. Whether it be inner office politics or whether it be, you know, government politics, it's all the same. And you've got to play the game to get to where you want to go. And you've got to be the best when you get there. You can't be smoking reefer in the studio no more. If the white boys do it all day long, you can't.
Tracy, what I'm saying is, if you look at the music industry, and I'm not even going to jump into Hollywood because, I mean, it's clear. I mean, there's no way you can go 50 years without giving a black person a leading actress award. Come on now. I mean, 100, almost ever since they started, Hattie McDaniels, all the way up until Halle Berry for months.
You
wonder why. Come on now.
You let me say it to you this way. What I've come to realize is, there are rules of engagement that we don't know the rules. I looked at Scandal, and I looked at The Good Wife, and the SAG Awards, and who won what. You know, don't get me wrong, racism can play a lot into a lot of things, but you have to know the rules of engagement. And our problem is we've never learned the rules of how things work. I mean, let me put it to you this way: let's look at the Academy Awards. How is the Academy Awards? How do they choose who they are? Do you know?
It's a group of people in that group of in the industry that select it, which is opinionated. And I'm gonna be honest with you: I guarantee you, 100% of those people, give or take one or two, are white. So 99.9% of them are white people, and they believe in it. Look, there are movies like Malcolm X. You can't tell me that Denzel didn't deserve an Oscar for Malcolm X.
I understand that, but
let me finish. Let me make a point. You can't tell me a movie like Out of Africa was better than Color Purple. Get up out of here. Come on.
Listen, you're not listening to what I'm saying. You don't listen to the words that are coming out of my mouth. There is a network that you have to punch your way into. And you have to be the best. They've got to want you and desire you to get in. And what happens is we don't understand the rules of engagement. So let me give you an analogy so that you can, maybe this will make it clearer. When we first went out to get jobs, we went out in our Sunday best.
Tracy,
so
you ain't got to go through no analogy. You ain't got to do that
because
I'm
because you ain't listening.
You do. You got to play the game. You got to do certain things
Alabama,
that I don't want to say
you,
on the
Alabama,
to get these
you're
off.
Not listening. You, we went out in a zoot suit. We put on our Sunday best, and our Sunday best may have been a purple suit. And we were clean in our purple suit. We were laid out. We had on our cologne. We had our hair cut. We had our nails did, however you want to look at it. And no one told us that when you go to get a job on Wall Street, you got to be in a dark blue suit with a bland tie and a white shirt. It can't be smelling because smells can offend people as well as embrace people. And until we learned that, we were getting rejected. It's a game, and you've got to learn the rules of the game. The academy, yes, it can be racial, but it's all about money, power, and influence. And you've got to be able to engage in that process. It's not necessarily about the color of your skin, even though sometimes Alabama, let me finish. I said it can be about the color of your skin. But that is not the only determining factor of it. And we need to get out of the racism and get into the business of it because it's truly about the dineros. And nobody's going to lift us up unless you lift your own self up.
Trace, I think
and they
you,
will pimp
you
for the money.
Look, let me say this right here. You came along in an era where they were still trying to emulate what was in the streets, right? And so here you are at death row. One of the greatest labels that ever been made, ever. So you probably got a warped understanding because you was there when Tupac and Biggie was on. This was a different time in hip-hop. Like, that was the golden era of hip-hop. Things were different back then. Now, and probably since the last, since probably 98, 99 on up, they have been, it's a completely different way of looking at the music industry than now, than back then. I just don't believe that everybody back then was, well, they just doing their job. And no, people, if you wanted what Tupac had and the things that he said and the way he was, you could only go to Tupac. Now they've kind of gotten such a stranglehold on the industry. They control what you say, how you look, how you dress, everything.
Listen, Alabama,
like
sweetie, they've always done that. That's called A&R. They've been doing that since the beginning. They've
not
always
really.
Done that.
Not really. If you go back,
Alabama, tell me something that you read about. I'm telling you something I know. They've always done it.
Hold on. I lived through this too, Tracy. I'm trying to tell you that when you had group, look, I didn't even agree with everything they were saying. But X-Clan, Poor Righteous Teachers, Boogie Down Productions, these guys were coming out with different songs. My Philosophy, You Must Learn. Why is it? And that was making a difference. Tribe Called, all these different people were coming out during this era of hip-hop, and it was positive hip-hop. Now, everybody comes out, they're talking about selling, that is controlled.
Unless they were selling CDs out of the trunk of their car, they were always shaping their image, their style, and their music. And when you go mainstream and when you get inside of a record deal, the music industry is so devious. It has been for years. It's so corrupt. It has been for years. And they've been pimping people for a very long time. They've been shaping images. Let's go back to Motown. Ask the band who made the Motown sound how they living today. Ask the groups who sang the songs, how they living today. And then look at the writers.
The rest of them broke.
Look at the writers and look at the and who held the publishing of the music that they were singing. So while they were out singing the songs, living in a bus, getting towed up all over the country on the Chitlin circuit, the other people were catching their checks. And maybe they get paid and maybe they wouldn't. Just to hear their song on the radio. The Grammys and all of this is a political game.
You're trying to throw
race into something. And racism, yeah, there is always a racial overtone in everything because it's America. But because we become so lax in what we do and how we do what we do. Then we and we have become so complacent. You ask young men, well, listen, do you know how to use the editing software for your music? No, I don't do that. But do you have a computer? Well, no, I don't do that. But do you do this? Well, no, I don't do that. Well, it's a problem.
Now, see, I'm going to tell
you. Now, that's what Tracy, I'm going to tell you something. I'm in the South, right? I'm down here in Alabama. I'm in Montgomery. That's where I'm from. Do you know how many people I know in within my little circle in Montgomery, Alabama, not Atlanta, just in Montgomery, that can do what you just said? That master their own music. That do this. This is not like
can
it's not like
what,
that. For every lazy
question?
Person.
So what
Tracy,
are they doing?
Me off.
Alabama.
I listen to you, but you want
Alabama.
To my point out.
What are they doing with their music that they're doing?
Do you depend on your?
What are they doing?
They're trying to get out there, but a lot of times, unless you're talking about a certain subject, you have a certain image. They don't want to push you because you
can
can't
I ask
come
you
out
a question?
Talking. You can't come
do
out
they,
and talk about you must learn and history and. And stuff like you can't Benjamin Banneker all these different stuff from the past. You can't bring that up in your rhyme. You got to be, I'm going to sell you a Kia coat. That's what you got to talk about. I'm going to go in the club and make it rain. I'm stupid. I have an IQ under 100. Then they'll sell you.
Let me tell you this, first of all. I love KRS-One. I loved all of those guys that were saying when you must do what the album was supposed to do, all of those songs. Because those songs were hot, they were in the hood, they were really talking about consciousness, and it was the New York hip hop thought. But let me tell you this: the business did cut those people off. Now, one thing I have to say: it's not about them not being able to do their own mastering, because these cats have Pro Tools out the behind, and they are doing it. I know, I my nephew is in this real heavy. My
Absolutely.
Nephew, Defuse and niece are in it real heavy
Absolutely.
Right now. Right down, one of my nieces right
and
down there in Atlanta. Well, they may be making.
They're making it. Am I correct? They're young and they're making it.
They should be making it.
Right.
They should have been made it because my nephew been a Pro Tools pro.
But they're making it. Am I correct?
But understand what I'm saying. He's been a Pro Tools pro for years.
But they're making it.
Yeah, but they're
Look
not out
there. So all you got to do is just master Pro Tools.
They're putting their time in to make it.
Well, yeah.
But what I'm saying is there's a lot of these guys out here. They're not putting that time in.
Yeah, but the ones that are coming up to the surface are.
And the ones and when they do, then they are making it.
No, they're not. Who That's what he's trying to tell you.
Thank you.
He's trying to tell you that a lot of these guys are excellent, but they're not going to get a play. It's just like this. I had a singing group did their demo in my studio, a group called Who's Who, okay? They were hot, but they sounded too much like Boyz II Men, and they would not let them out. They bought their contract and sat on it. And so that's
what we got a group called Next in Montgomery.
I've got a question for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
In 2014, you can distribute your own.
Yeah, you can.
The record companies are having a very, very difficult time.
Mm. Okay.
And you have so much out there, and you can get so much done. You can if you think you can sell CDs out of a trunk, you can. It's amazing what you can do with the internet. And they are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Are they not?
You got a lot of artists in Montgomery, Alabama. For instance, we had a group called Deuce Conrad. They sold probably about 15,000-20,000 CDs. And back then, people was paying $10, right? They sold them. They was going around touring. They was charging $5,000-$6,000 a show. It was three of them, and they was getting it. And they was getting it three times a week. They was making money. They were good. Universal was offering these guys like $100,000, $200,000. They was laughing at them. Like, man, that ain't nothing. You know, when you look at somebody's schedule, like that guy Hurricane Chris, when I was promoting concerts, he had one single, his first single, Hey Baby. He was charging $5,000 when he first came out. This dude only had 3 days open for 30 days. So out of 30 days, some days he was doing two shows. He would do a show and double and hit another club that same night. These folks, these independent artists don't need these record labels like they used to. And the industries, when you sign and you get that mass appeal and they start pushing you out all across the country, it's a 360 deal, which means they're getting part of your shows, they're getting part of every dollar you make, Plus, if they don't want you to sell, they can do you any kind of way they want to do you. So a lot of people saying, screw this. I can get on iTunes. I can push it on this website. I can get on independent, on XM and do this and do that, and I can make money. It's a chain. But I'm just telling you, it's control. And I'm not anti-Semitic, but I just know that it's a bunch of white Jews that control all these industries, the music. They control the media.
That's what I'm saying, is that the world has changed.
You're going somewhere where you don't want
to
go.
I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600, number 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and
Hello? Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, yo, you guys are talking about rap and hip-hop. You got to realize, they say people don't work hard. Anything that you like, you're going to work hard at it. In entertainment, people are just selecting you.
Exactly, man. I just can't
get at the end of the day, a rap artist will tell you they can make a rap song the way they want a whole hip-hop album as they like they want. And the producer and the industry has the final say whether they're going to release that album or not. If the album is not right, the artists have to go and create more songs until the record company says, okay, this is a go. So the last thing, the leaders are the record companies. I mean, traditionally.
Look, I remember, Freddie Prinze from Rap-A-Lot, Murder, Inc., three or four of the guys got together. I think Suge Knight got together, and they was trying to build their own distribution network, basically where they could go out and distribute their own CDs and not have to go through the majors, like, you know, Universal or Interscope. All three of them got arrested in 5 days. All of them got arrested, locked up for different issues, but they all got locked up.
Right.
It's a racket, man. It's ran by a certain group of guys.
Well, it's all about money and greed, right? It's all about money and greed. They don't.
If you control media, you control the minds of people, because media is, look, man. People are getting, look, in radio, TV. You control those two things. You control people's minds. Whether people want to admit it or not. We don't have, as black people, we don't have a form of media that we control. I think we only got a certain amount of stations out of thousands of 12,000, 15,000. I think we only own like 60, 40, something like, not even that much. 12 or something, some low, ridiculously low number. So where I'm just sitting like, man, come on, man. You can't exactly think that it's not being infiltrated and held by a certain conglomerate of individuals that have a certain agenda, that aren't just thinking, okay, I want to make money. This ain't about money, because if it was about money, there are a lot of Christian movies that came out that do well. But do you see a lot of Christian movies coming out? No, because they don't like that stuff.
Hey, what up, bro?
Well, man, you got to realize that entertainment, no one wants to listen to, because
hey,
everyone is not going to listen to somebody. How you doing? No one is always going to listen to someone preaching to them. When you listen to entertainment,
I'm talking about movies like Fireproof that made hundreds of that
the music today obviously has agendas behind it, bro, because the videos, they don't even correlate with what the song is talking about. With the song sometimes.
Well, every music has an agenda. Every song has an agenda. That's just a fact.
I mean, every
yeah, but
see, every
but sometimes the lyrics are different than the video themselves sometimes too.
Well, yeah, I know, but I mean, the problem is that they're speaking in the present tense, like they will continue to do that. If you would get one of those gentlemen in the interview and you would ask them about selling drugs, they would go and say, "No, kids don't sell drugs." But in their album, they're speaking in the present tense. If you're going to get, let's say, if you want to get a concert and Stop the Violence concert, which rap artist would you perform at that show, and which song would they sing? But you have to realize that you have to watch out for the transformation stage. Every time someone produces something, they're affirming who they are, and they are trying to transform you in some type of way. That's all music.
I agree. I wasn't saying that. What I was saying about the movie industry, when it comes to movies, they have a certain way they present movies, and certain movies have been proven to be very profitable, and those are Christian-based movies. I'm not talking about a movie where somebody's sitting there talking about stop smoking, stop this. I'm talking about a movie where, like, that movie Fireproof, or which I ain't even like the movie, but it made a lot of money. So, and they see this, but they don't make those types of movies because Hollywood has a whole different way of looking. They trying to go in a direction. Cause let's
How
look
do
at
you not
Tyler
like
Perry.
Fireproof? Oh,
I've never seen that movie,
like,
Fireproof, man.
I've never seen that, but you have to realize you have to go for a general type of audience. I understand, but see, everybody who's not the Christian religion may not see that, so you want to get
Academy,
a more general
movie. Vampire Academy is a movie that's not going out to everybody. It's going out to a certain demographic. It just is.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and I'm listening to Pharrell Williams today. That's the theme song for the day. I want everybody to have a happy day. It's Friday, and today is the 7th of February, 2014. It is 34 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock, and I hope you're having a good day today. What, Jeff?
I'm looking over here. I'm saying I'm glad for that, because usually you're supposed to be trying to call in here at a quarter to the end of the show.
Oh, they're here.
Yeah, how you doing? Hey, look at Mr. Allfax.
Who was that? How you going to talk with the music going to? Like,
oh, I thought you guys were playing. I thought somebody else was playing the music.
No, that was me. How you doing today? Is that 312?
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Hold on just a second. South Carolina's up. Good morning, South Carolina.
Good morning, Tracy. How are you?
I'm good. Where have you been?
I've been working my tushy off.
Oh. So you've been working your craft, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. So what's going on?
It's open mic. He was talking. Alabama was telling me, you know, I noticed that all the rap category went to white guys this year. I noticed that. But I also noticed, and knowing the guys, knowing some of the industry, we become very complacent. And we want to make it. But I was telling Jeff during the break, what happens, you know, we have a snow day, and we'll take off from work when other folks will go out and work during the snow day. Because of the snow day, we stop work, and they take snow day as an opportunity to get some more work done. We're going to have our mindset, and that's just who we are. And I'm not saying it's wrong. But until we create our own, and you can, we keep on going to somebody else for it, and we don't comply and
right.
fit into their paradigm. And I don't see what's so big about getting the Grammy anyhow.
I was trying to say that they try to do that. They try to set up a distribution deal. But when they try to do that, guess what happened though? The Lambs went over there and put them like they falsely accused them of like some drug charges or some shit. My bad.
Hey.
Murder Inc. Yeah.
But again, listen. This is what I'm telling you. If you know that you're flying. If you know that you're black and you're driving, if you know that you're colored, you know you got to go by better rules. You shouldn't go, you know, you need to pull your pants up until you get to your neighborhood and then pull them back down if you have to.
The guys were innocent, Tracy.
No,
they were innocent.
Yeah,
they were innocent.
That's what
innocent.
I understand they were innocent.
It's Mike. How you doing? This is Mike from Baltimore. No, that's not how America works. That's one reason why Trayvon Martin is dead. Because someone did not like. Hold on. Someone looked at him, didn't like his culture, didn't look at his actions, preconceived him, prejudged him just the way he was looking, and you do that. What I'm saying is. You don't have to do that. You should be able, as long as you're not breaking no crimes and no laws, people should leave people alone.
Mike.
Bottom line.
Mike, Trayvon Martin's dead because George Zimmerman's crazy.
And because Davy Precious told him
to go back up.
Well,
there.
Some people say that Trayvon Martin didn't even exist. What about that?
No, that's not true.
Listen to what I'm
saying.
Craziness.
Well, I would just use
Trayvon Martin is dead because George Zimmerman's crazy. George Zimmerman's crazy. Now, we blamed it on race, but now we even found out he's nutty as a fruitcake. We need to understand that, yeah, racism does exist, but we need to be careful when we point the race card. Because sometimes we point it
to the
right. Wait. When you say racist,
I mean, people don't
know
people that's taking pants, Tracy, and prejudge them.
Say that again?
You mean to tell me people don't prejudge African-American males
yes, they
with
do.
Saggy
that
pants?
Yes, they
and
do, but
you,
not
you
in
have
that
a lot of A students. You have a lot of A students because, listen, whether you like it or not, I'm going to make this statement, and you're not going to like it. Ooh. I'll tell my sons it's illogical to have saggy pants walking like a penguin every other step. But I'm going to say a fact. It's a part of a culture and an ethnicity, whether I like it or not, whether it's illogical. If you look at it by definition, that's a culture and ethnicity. None of us on this phone can deny that.
But it's a culture that was created, and it actually hinders your growth. So don't get mad when your culture is prejudged. Hold on. Don't get mad when your culture is prejudged based upon everyone else who does what you do and then not like it when you got to go ask them for a glass of water and a piece of bread.
Okay, so why won't you? So why do you want them or people want people to change all in one day? They want them to pull their pants up, speak proper English and grammar, go to school, respect their mother, go to all in one day. And I'm just saying, we have to. If we look at these youth, we have to take one step at a time. And there's some things that we must accept. Listen, there's a difference between you going to school and respecting yourself, but there's some things that's going to be a part of a culture. And I'm
again,
just saying, it has
you
to
can
be
a
balance,
listen,
and we want
being
people
a,
to be
being
a
part of a culture.
And that's what
being
we're going
a part
to
of,
for.
Being part of a culture. You create your own culture. You create your own environment. And sometimes we need to step back and say, this environment that we have created is detrimental to our health. It is not working for us. And it's causing more men to be incarcerated, more babies to be born out of wedlock, more girls to have
issues.
But
that's not going to change. That's not going to change at all. If you go to the neighborhood right now and you see how it is, it ain't really
going to. Then guess what? We will always have what we always have. And right now that means nothing. Because right now all we got is nothing, and we can't blame Whitey for everything.
Well, here's what I was going to say.
Oh, no, I don't blame Whitey for nothing. I'm just saying in this society that we live in, it has to be a little bit of acceptance and balance. And I'm just saying in this society, people want someone to be exactly a perfect image, and nobody's like that.
Well, once again,
you know,
You know, so, you know, we have uniforms in our schools, and you still have some people who think uniforms are bad because I heard some philosophy says, well, that's like them going to jail. They can't wear what they want now. Now, we
well,
started uniforms, so people want to, I'm just saying, right. So sometimes, it's you can't win for losing. That's all
well,
I wanted
again,
to say.
Once again,
I don't think uniforms
right.
change anything, bro. Uniforms is kind of lame. Wearing a uniform
you know,
to school.
Uniforms are a good thing because they keep people from judging one another in the schools too harshly about what they wear and what they don't wear. The situation is this: we know that we have a society that's predisposed to judging and on sight African Americans at times, but every single case is not that. And Trayvon Martin's case was not. And that's the bottom line. Let me finish my thought. Okay, his case was not that because we have information that lets you know now, after the fact, clearly that, first of all, Trayvon Martin had gotten to his father's house and baby Precious was on the phone and told him to go back. But
wrong.
Really
that's not what happened. If you watch the trial,
what
happened.
The
headlines, no. That did not come
you
out at trial.
Know.
I'm sorry.
I said we know after
that's
the
not
fact.
What was at trial. No, after the
Diva.
Fact is what was at a trial.
He was
and that
at
was,
his father's door.
He was
he
not at
Precious.
His father's house.
That's not testimony, Diva.
No, there wasn't no testimony.
Yes, it was.
Dude, I watched that trial all day, every day.
Okay.
And it was that did not come out
well,
of trial.
Then you didn't watch
that
it long
is,
enough.
Marilyn stated a truth. George Zimmerman prejudged Trayvon Martin based on his preconceived notions of what was happening in that time. Those black boys that broke into white mother's house were caught. So why
once
did you
again,
have to feel the need to... Trayvon Martin was a part of that group. He judged Trayvon Martin a part of that group based on what he looked like. So he already had a preconceived notion of that's what those type of people look like. That's what they have like. And he prejudged whether you like it or not.
Listen, Diva, listen. Trayvon Martin is dead because George Zimmerman's
crazy.
Crazy
only.
Bottom line.
I'm not saying he's
but
he did prejudge him.
George Zimmerman was looking for a fight. And when he got out there, he found one, and it was with Trayvon Martin. I'm going to let everybody talk, but you can't talk on top of each other, and I've got to pull up 240. Your mic is on.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, Tracy, yeah. Can you go back to the music industry for a minute?
Yes, please, go back.
Okay, yeah. I'm here in the Valley, in Youngstown, and I've been engineering, making a living off of engineering, no other job, since 1994, so all the way up until today. And I think most people have a misconception of what the music industry actually does.
That's correct.
And what I mean by that is most people don't pay any attention to well, it's more so like, good example, as far as, well, what I'm pretty much getting, reason I said how long I've been recording these people, I'm sure there is as much talent here in the Valley as there is anywhere else in the world. But the difference is most people don't understand that the record industry, music industry, actually pick and chooses who they actually put on. It's almost like a family thing. And I think that's one thing that they, huh?
By the way, do you still have my number?
Do I?
Yeah.
Who's this, Jeff?
Yeah.
You know who I am, right?
You know I know who you are.
Yeah, I didn't pull down the mic and said, ask Jeff to know who this is, but I'm looking for an engineer, so I need you to
call us. My phone got rid of numbers, and I couldn't find you.
I don't know whether I have your number or not, but we got into it on Facebook over politics, and religion and politics and me don't get along. So
you didn't get into it with me because I was.
We did that in the studio too.
Listen, I'm trying to.
Right, we always
we did it in the studio.
And Mr. Engineer, do you have? Listen, my number is 720-0000. Will you please write that down and give me a call after 12 noon today?
Okay, what is it?
720-0000.
My goodness, girl.
Oh, all zeros. Okay, no problem.
Yeah.
I will.
Even being all zeros, that was too fast. Slow down.
Come on,
720-0000.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm happy.
Well, anyway, what I was saying, though, like most people, it's like a good example. Like if there is such thing as social engineering, how does it take place? Good example, you want the boys to pull their pants up, but every video you see their pants is down. You know, you complain about the drug use. You know, so here you got the boys talking about pot mollies. And the guy was 100% right when he sat there and said, yes, it's the white people behind behind the industry. It's not the people, the actual A&Rs. It's the owners. Owners is ultimately responsible for what's out of their business.
I made the point.
And I don't know why everybody want to give the industry a pass on that.
Well, now, I made the point that you remember Who's Who, right?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, Rose.
Yeah,
Bell. I know.
Now, they did that demo in my studio. Now, remember,
uh-huh.
they went out to L.A.? Yep.
Mm-hmm, right.
They they gave them a contract, and then what did they do?
They sat on it.
They sat on it. As far as I remember, they didn't do them but shelf them, right?
The thing was, they sounded too much like either Guy or Boys the Man, whoever was hot at that time.
I think
and
it was
Josie
back then.
Yeah, you're right. And they sat on the contract. And so
right.
That's what happens in the industry. Some of these people, because I was just sort of saying to Tracy that, you know, I don't think that if that these guys aren't up on their business so much. Some of them aren't, but
a lot of them are. I've been a good example. People don't understand it. I record people. Well, you know, just, people don't stop recording. These people is on the grind. They need to get to this misconception that a mixtape is going to get them somewhere.
That's
problem.
True.
And the industry is the one who keeps pushing this, saying that, hey, this person got put on because they had a mixtape. That's what people
right.
need to see through that nonsense.
But let me ask you this.
You're right.
Let me ask you this. The politics of getting the deal, the showing up, the being – I mean, you've got to be all things to all people that you might win some. You find yourself actually becoming something that you're not so that you can get to where you're going.
Right.
Am I wrong?
Sell out. That's like, you got to sell
right.
out.
You're exactly right.
No. You don't have to sell out. What you have to do is you have to give me the image that you can be, you
well,
can adapt to my environment.
Well, it's not, well, to me, it's not selling out. People don't, that's what a lot of people get the misconception about hip-hop, saying it's all supposed to be real. You know, if you're a hip-hop artist, it's art. So that means it's not real. You know, but here they sit there, they sell all this to people, say, if you're going to rap hard, like, you know, like they put down Rick Ross, you know, security guard, how can he do all this and that and say that he did all, and he's a security guard. It's art. It sells records. That's all it's about. Selling records
it's about
and get
money.
The population to do what you want them to do. That's what it's about.
Well look, let me interject something. Y'all guys
going to
run all day, can I talk? Hold on, Alabama.
Go ahead.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
You talking about me?
You jumped in the middle of it. Go ahead.
I had an example, but you guys are kind of running away from it.
Oh,
let's look at fashion modeling. Fashion modeling, I was a model in New York, right? I would see black girls that got beautiful faces, flat stomach, not overweight, but they got a big butt. They'll get turned down. And I see some anorexic. Obviously, the girl got an eating problem. She's skinny, bony. All she is a big head with long hair down her back. She going to get booked for the industry, and they're going to say she's beautiful. these people, that's what I'm saying. These women make me want to throw up on my stomach when I see them. But
well,
they think
okay, I got a question for you,
Alabama. Let me finish. Let me get the point. These white Europeans telling us that this is beautiful, and quite frankly, that's why a lot of black women try to look the way they look because that's all you see in magazines. Even Iman, Naomi Campbell, they came out like, look, y'all are tripping, and I think you really need to own your own industry. Otherwise, you can't tell these white folks not to give. But let's be honest, they are misproportionately. So when you're white, you're going to sell a lot easier. They think like that. They think about what works. And it's back when we was on the break, I was talking about the movie Fireproof. That works. That makes money. It's not about who's a Christian. It's been proven to make money. Forget what the movie's about. It could be about anything. But if it works, mm-hmm. if it doesn't fit an agenda, then they don't
there
want
you
it.
Go.
I'm not the type of guy that makes excuses. I'm conservative just like the rest of you, a lot of people on this phone. But let's be honest. There is a white supremacy has to be prevailed in certain instances. Otherwise, if you come out and you present a certain way, a certain way, they don't like that. That's why that positive hip hop is gone.
Alabama, what I'm saying to you is, this is where we falter. We want to go into the white man's world and play the white man's game and not create our own when it is us who
created it all.
And then we want to
bumping heads on that, Tracy.
Alabama,
hey,
listen to what I'm saying. But then you want to say it's racism when you go to the Grammys to ask him for an award because he don't appreciate what we do. When he has never appreciated anything that you've ever done there anyhow.
The thing that's going on here is, you know, there's a little bit of misconception going on that end of it, Alabama, as it doesn't matter who you are or who you're not. Because, like I say, when they pulled Beyonce out of the group, they didn't let somebody else up that could sound like Beyonce. When Whitney was hot out there, they didn't let somebody else be hot out there that sounded like Whitney. Because there's a girl right out of Youngstown here that sound to me, she sang Whitney better than Whitney. Now, her voice was a little bit different, but because it was so much like the Whitney, she would not get a good chance of getting out there because she sounded too much like an artist that they were making money off of. They're not going to cut their own money.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's what makes decisions a lot of times. And these rappers coming up, they provide a lot of fodder. They provide a lot of money for people that are doing studio.
And more money than they're making, if you want to know the truth about it. Because when you look at the record industry, and if I'm wrong, you guys who are in it, tell me, they ain't nothing but a loan shark. Because by the time by the time you get your interest off of everything you've ever done, you walk away like Salt and Pepper and TLC broke.
How come there are any more local record labels?
Distribution? Yeah. So they say. I think it's because...
Well, you got plenty of local record labels.
Who?
Independence.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Now, when I say local record labels, I'm talking about local record labels that's actually trying to compete, not people just putting out little mixtapes.
Oh, well, I mean, they don't know what to do to get into the next rung up.
How come that don't exist anymore?
Well, it doesn't
used to
exist
because
their product
is put a lot of money. Sorry about it. Say again.
The product. I don't think they have the greatest product.
I don't think people know how to do that. That's something that's.
I'm saying that's two things. They don't know how to make.
There's a book. There's an industry book that's the standard. There's a standard book called Confessions of a Executive Record Producer, something like that. And that book outlines everything you need to do. Make it, and it's still relevant. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to people
work.
In the industry that's well by that
Bill,
book.
It don't work.
Bill, let me say this: the problem with the industry today is that the industry has evolved to the point that even the majors are trying to figure out how to make money now. Because everything has changed. Everything has changed when you no longer have vinyl and CDs and a tangible product. Remember, everything is digital now and it's transferable very, very easily.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of folks are losing a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. But one thing I hear people say that all the time, but a good example, what I do understand when people say it all my life, like if something doesn't make money, people don't do it. One thing I do notice
their industry haven't pulled records, put their records off the store shelves. So
no,
they're making money. Right, they're making money.
That's
number one. The other thing is for there to be a record label, for a record label to be profitable, number one thing it has to have is its own recording facility, right? So if you don't have people coming in to record real albums to spend time to make money, that's exactly what the industry's purpose is, to eliminate those record labels. So they got a monopoly on the whole game.
Absolutely. There you go. Whoops, there
that's
it is.
Why
that
label
that's
random
why,
sales
that's
out of
why,
business charging $10 and $15 for $20 for a CD. Folks can go
say again.
Get a CD for $5. They ran them sales out of business. Price spent. People, they used to charge CDs and tapes used to be $20, $15, $15.99. When you go in the corner and get that same thing for $5. They priced
well,
sales out of business. And the black market, they created that market.
Well, yeah.
Well,
I was
remember
the
last night and saw that movie. What's the name of it? One with a week early. And they made a big fuss about us having our cell phones. Everybody had to take their phones out of their pocket. Because people created an industry.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, that's a good example. That's just on sales. You know, good example. That's on bootlegging. What I'm talking about is to eliminate the actual competition. You know, that's where the real money is, where you don't have nobody to compete with you and tell everybody that everything that you put on your tracks is freestyle. You didn't write nothing. So now you got everybody being ignorant that don't know how to write now. All they do is want to come to the studio, get high, and rap because that's what the industry telling them that's what they need to do.
And that's what I'm
saying.
To
make
it
like
I
did, like they said.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what Tracy's saying.
That's what I'm saying. And because that's what they showed them. And that's not what the business is.
Right.
I'm going to take a break. I'm
ready. So who's doing it? That's my question. So now talking about this, where is it coming from?
Hey, guys. Alabama, I know you're there.
Did you?
Who was the guy who
go
was
ahead,
just talking?
Ahead.
Who's the guy who was just talking?
The guy from Youngstown.
Oh, hey, how you doing? You guys are right. I'm a musician. I've been, you know, banging around town, around the country. I stopped 5 years ago, but I was doing it for about 25 years. And these record labels, honestly, as a musician, I got, you know, we had a bunch of offers from record labels. And all it was to the only thing person who reaps the rewards are the record labels. The only opportunity.
Right.
The only opportunity they give these actual musicians or the artists are a chance to go out and be able to promote themselves, but they make no money off of it. And it's really pardon my French, we're not on the air. It's an ass backwards thing. This is why I'm actually kind of happy at this whole new thing with media, the way it's running with computers. It is easy to go and get your product out now and be able to promote yourself basically for free. Unless you want people to see more, you got to pay yourself. But you can promote yourself and reap the rewards now, as opposed to paying a record company that all they do is get you shows or something to that effect. So it's a messed up system.
Mm-hmm. Right, they got it all screwed up. Yeah, but I believe it's done like that on purpose, just like everything else. They got greedy, and not only did they get greedy, they found out that they have a tool that can actually influence the youth to make them do what they want to do.
Yeah, that's true.
That's all I see, period. That's all I see the industry does. Nothing else. Nothing positive.
But you know what, though? I'm going to go back. Like, if you go back into the 80s, when it comes to hip-hop, now that's one genre. You go back to the 80s and up into the mid-90s, the hip-hop was a form of music where people would come out and they could make these politically conscious moves, rhymes, and it would still be on TV. It was still, because people were just trying to make money at that time. Now, and then it got commercial. But there was a while where people could come out and say anything, from kill Whitey to vote Republican, whatever. Anything
in between. I remember.
And you would still sell. But now, it ain't like that. Like, and I feel like that was on purpose. I feel like that's by design, because you start talking about Goody Mob and Big Daddy, even in Big Daddy Kane rhymes and Eric B and Rakim, listen to what they were really saying in X-Clan and all these different groups. And you said, man, these guys were talking about some stuff that I didn't learn about till I was 30.
They was talking right. about that stuff. But
consciousness.
And they make
they were
you
talking
want to
about
look it up and learn it.
Right. They were talking about consciousness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really is. You're right. It's about selling an image now. Image is what the new sales of music is. If you don't have the image, I mean, look at Justin Bieber, for the love of God. I don't think the kid's got talent. A lot of people.
He's an R&B artist. He's supposed to be an R&B artist. Come on.
I know, if you say so.
Oh,
And he looks just like what's her name? Billy Ray Cyrus's kid. Well, what the hell's her
yeah,
name?
Yeah, she's supposed to be R&B. She's supposed to be R&B and hip. I have a problem. I ain't going to say I have a problem, but a lot of these black producers like these checks coming from these people because they pay just more money
right.
because they're more commercial, and that's mm-hmm. why it's like it is now. That's why a lot of these people are coming in, and they're creating a lane that we're probably never going to get back because I feel like there's
exactly.
a difference between a Keith Sweat, there's a difference between Keith Sweat, Nex, and all these different groups and Justin Bieber.
Oh, I agree.
Nowhere.
Totally agree.
It shouldn't even be close.
Yeah, I think that, and it's not even a, you know, if there's, and I'm a white guy, okay, if there's somebody who's white who can go out and do, you know, R&B or and do it the justice that it had back 20 years ago, that's a
Michael
different
Michael McDonald.
Okay,
yeah, Michael
yeah.
McDonald used to be one of those guys that got that level of, but Justin Bieber's commercial. I don't really knock the guy, the mayor to the actress. I forget his name. He's Robin Thicke. Guy like that, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, well, he's all right. But at the same time, it's like you got the whole genre has been destroyed. Like, name some other R&B artists out. Because Chris Brown is making pop music right now.
Right.
Trey Songz tries to make pop music. He tries to do a few songs that are pop. He doesn't try to do – name somebody that's strictly R&B. Go back to the 90s. There was a time when these people was just trying to make money, and you can see the difference. Now they're not
mm-hmm.
trying to make money. They're trying to control people's thoughts.
And honestly, I haven't heard the name Chris Brown in 10 years at least. I mean, I'm just shocked you brought that up because I was like, holy cow, there was a guy named Chris Brown who was doing songs, you know, that long ago. That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sleep on him. He just made an album and sold a lot of CDs. So, I mean,
he's
still a viable artist.
Right now again. He's not on top, but I'm saying he's popular. He's still just as popular as before Rihanna incident. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how long it's been since I've listened to the radio. I don't even listen to the radio anymore. It got so bad, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys ever notice how any new artist comes out, listen to what they're talking about? Because being from the streets as a black person, there are certain people that sell drugs. There are certain people that go in the club and got that certain genre. And there are a lot of other people. But only ones that they see marketed and pushed to our kids and to our youth are the ones that are a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this thug culture that they're pushing, that they're proud, they're pushing that, be a thug, be a person that if someone disrespects you, don't mind going 20 years in a jail cell.
Because whose fault is that? Because the people who are buying these records, they're determining what's being put out there. Because are you going to listen to a guy who is straight laced and who had no cares in the world? Who's that white guy? I want to say his name's Ashton, but it wasn't Ashton. And he made a cute little rap song about college. You know, I can identify with that song because that's how I was when I was in college. But he ended up being a one hit wonder.
Hey,
because that
okay,
type of
I see what you're saying, but let's be honest. When you're 17, hold on. When you're 16, 17, and you're in a poor community, you're gonna be young and impressionable. They're taking that to their advantage. It's not like your parents.
Yeah, they're taking it. They're not creating
it.
I would say they're taking advantage of it because.
Look, I think sagging is stupid. I was in middle school when it came out. I'm not gonna lie and say I've always worn my pants. So I wore my pants down, especially when I played basketball. We had those shorts. I would wear shorts down. I would. But as I got older, I was like, that's stupid. I didn't do it that long. I did it a few times, but not that much. But I have done it. But let's not act
but
like
the
these kids.
The fact of the matter is, this
like
is
that.
Not something that the rap industry is creating. This is something that the rap industry, that this industry is taking advantage of. Because even long before rap came into existence, drugs existed. Violence existed.
Deeper. Let me ask you this right here. Hold on. Let's look at the homosexualization of hip-hop. Because that's being done on purpose. skinny jeans. These people, and there's a group of people that do this stuff.
Homosexuality has been since biblical times, since ancient times, sir.
But it hasn't been
homosexuality hasn't existed. What I'm saying is they're trying to infiltrate hip hop and push it in that direction.
You realize you have people in the valley who was dressing this way long before hip infiltrated. Then you had a specific hip-hop artist who saw this.
Okay, so just because one or two guys did it doesn't necessarily mean that they put the majority of hip-hop was not like that.
How can you say they're having a sex with a lot of women, but then they said they're gay? I don't understand.
They're covering. They're on the down low. That's what down low men do.
But that's like Eminem. For his first couple albums, the way he used to talk about homosexuals, he was hip hop. It was not accepted in hip hop,
right?
But his was hip hop because he was talking about the struggles of his life.
Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Or you can call us locally at 330-781-9600. We're talking about the music industry. It is open mics today, and it came in because this morning Alabama, I played Pharrell, and Pharrell did a song called Happy, and he mentioned about the Grammys and about no African American in the rap category. African Americans really did not succeed in the Grammys to win, and I noticed the same thing, and I looked and said, wow, and I didn't even know who Daft Punk was. I just figured that out a few minutes ago. And coming out of the industry, coming out of Hollywood the way I did, seeing what we do, seeing how the industry is politicized. I mean, even to get a star on the Walk of Fame it's not because you earn it, but it's because it's political. Everything is political, and we go to others trying to find validity instead of creating our own. But then and racism, and I will say this, racism has a place to do in it, but I think it's more of a prejudice than a racism. But it's all about dollars.
That was me talking to myself.
Hey Matt, how are you?
When you hear stuff, what are they talking about?
But Alabama, listen to what I'm saying.
I'm not talking about you.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Then be quiet so I can pull Matt up because I ain't heard from Matt all day long.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning, Matt. How are you?
I'm good, Tracy. How are you?
I'm doing well.
That's good. That's good. I was listening for part of the first hour there and had a little discussion while you were on break. You know, the music industry, and I'm sure Jeff has mentioned this, it's not about the art form of music anymore. It's just not. It's really what you're talking about. It's about image and whatever the popular image is today, whether it be politically, whether it be about, you know, I'm the cool guy or cool girl, and I'm trying to keep it clean, who does drugs or has this, you know, like the Justin Bieber type mentality where you're just out racing cars around, go to court, and then go get in trouble for something else. There's nothing to do about the art form anymore. And part of the reason why we have this problem is the record company, because of what they promote. Artists don't make money off getting signed to a record label. The record label promotes them. But they're the ones who reap all the rewards. You're lucky if you can sell some merchandise at a show. That's where your money's going to come from. But other than that, it's nothing. So really, I'm kind of happy to see all this media that's coming out and these people able to get their art form out over the internet without a record label. They might have to pay a little bit more out of their own pocket to be recognized. But I think it's great just to save the art form of music, and I don't care what form of music that is, to save the art form of music, getting these record companies dialed out of business is key.
You know what? I tell you what bothers me to no end. You can do this on your own, but you got, if you work together, and I mean, you got to realize what happened back in the 80s when they were selling music out the trunk of their cars.
Oh yeah.
And when you become a commodity like that, then you write your own deal. You do what you want to do. If you're smart and you have a good manager and you understand the industry. But I'm really... Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say image is art by definition. But, I mean, does art imitate life? Does life imitate art?
Right now, life is imitating art. Because, let's really be real about this. Molly Cyrus, she's got the talent of a frog and the beauty of a muse. Why is she being promoted the way she is?
Who?
You're asking a question. I thought you had something to follow that up.
Yeah, I thought you were making a statement.
That was a good question, though.
Well,
seriously.
I disagree with what the caller just said. Image is art. He's right. However, it's not a musical art form. Miley Cyrus is famous in the musical label, I guess, or platform because of her image. That doesn't make sense.
What
they
image?
Should have.
She looked like
huh?
a moose. What
like
image?
A camel.
What is she
no,
worth?
Not a moose, a camel.
What is she worth?
I'm sure she's worth a lot, but what is that
why
for
does,
an art form?
Why
if you're an
that,
artist,
that's what
I'm
going to say.
She's worth a lot is the reason she's where she's at.
She what?
Why does Kiss dress the way they dress? Why does a hard rocker dress the way they dress? Why do they
no, 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 that's not what I said. That's not what I said.
I'm not a that's tattoo not... guy. I wouldn't touch a tattoo, me personally.
But I'm just saying,
personally.
Look at, I mean, no. She at least Kiss, there was a talent. There was a sound to Kiss. There was something about Kiss that was past them looking crazy. There was something about Kiss, and I'm not a Kiss fan, don't get me wrong. But there was something about Kiss. There was a sound. There was a rhythm. There was something about the lead guitar with Kiss that you could embrace, even if you didn't like Kiss. What in the heck does a Miley Cyrus have looking like a moose, sounding like a cat?
Money.
What money?
You say Miley Cyrus, and I'm saying I wonder who you mean. You
what's
mean
her
Miley
name?
Cyrus.
Same thing.
Hannah Montana.
Same thing. And they're coming off the Disney Channel, and Disney's making, but they didn't
right.
make, they didn't make some
money.
But hold on. So
she
tell me.
She influence.
What influence? Her daddy?
No.
Well, yeah,
she influenced. No, I'm telling you. She influenced through her music. She's able to reach out to the youth. That's why
yeah,
they're putting
she,
her out there like they are.
No, that's
she's
her out there because her daddy is Billy Ray Cyrus. That's why they put her out there.
How they're using her.
Well, we agree.
Like she came out with the campaign to stop the bullying about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You're forgetting that Miley Cyrus was a Disney star. That's how
mm-hmm.
she got her start.
Because
she started
her
on
father
Disney
was Billy
as,
Ray Cyrus.
No, she started on Disney as Hannah Montana.
Oh, here we go.
That's true.
Because her father was Billy Ray Cyrus. Well,
no, you think
you
she
want,
got that part just because her dad was
Diva,
Billy Ray?
Diva,
you think
Diva.
She got the part of Hannah Montana just because
yes.
her dad was Billy Ray Cyrus?
Yes.
Well,
there was
no
reason for Disney.
She played an all-American white girl image on the Disney Channel. Come on, work once again.
I don't care nothing about her image.
And
nothing,
when she
nothing.
Tied into that image like that, they didn't like
guys.
It. That's all I'm saying.
Let me tell you something, please. Let me tell you something. You don't get on Disney with no doggone talent, doggone it. Disney goes to...
I never said
have you ever watched Hannah Montana?
Will you listen to me, please?
Have you ever watched Hannah Montana?
Will you listen to me, please?
One at a time.
Just 1 second. You don't get on Disney. You go through a process. I know a young man is down at Disney right now auditioning. Okay, and he auditioned 3 times before for them. He's got talent, but he can't get past the level of talent that the other ones have. The only reason why this chick is where she is because her father made it in the industry, and his name is Billy Ray Cyrus.
As a matter of fact,
huge star.
Hold on, if you want to pull that, if you want to pull that cover off, tell me, Nicole Richie.
Mm-mm. Right.
What'd she do?
Be the daughter of Lionel Richie.
Okay, let's go to Paris Hilton. What'd she do?
Was the Hilton's of the same fame?
What
got
she
money?
Does now is completely different than what she used to do because Paris Hilton is a very successful businesswoman at the moment. So she's making her own way.
You think it's her?
So she has what does she do? Now what she did when she became famous was nothing.
I'd be there too.
You think it's her being the businesswoman, or is it the ones that are falling around?
It doesn't matter. The fact is, are you talking about what she did in the past? Because, yes, Nicole Richie didn't do anything when she came into the limelight, still not doing anything. But Paris Hilton came into the limelight based off her family's name, but she's also making a name for herself.
Okay. Now, hold on. You really don't understand, you really don't understand, do you?
No.
Okay, because it doesn't work like that way, Diva. She ain't made doo-doo. Okay, that's it. She has not made
Daddy created an image for her, and she followed in.
And a team of people to direct her path,
like A&R,
and advise her. She had a team of people with her that her daddy paid, and that's why she's her own brand now, because they created her. Don't be.
You know how many fortunate. You know how many fortunate Americans that you know may not be as rich as her, but have that. Special privilege that she has.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly.
It's not greater.
I agree. Yeah.
Hey, Gary, your mic's on New York.
I mean, yeah, what's the topic? I don't want to say
mic.
Oh, okay.
It's open.
Well,
we're talking about music, but it's open mic.
Yeah, well, as far as Miley Cyrus, me personally, I think she's a pretty good singer. I like her music. She has a great team of people that work for her. Mike Will, Pharrell. She has just a great team of people who like her and support her. I like her music. I personally would like her more as a country singer when she was in Hannah Montana, and I know about that because my little sister grew up watching that show. Now, Miley Cyrus is one of those that just, She came, she's got the silver spoon in her mouth. She had the Disney Channel, she had Hannah Montana, and then she knew how to market herself. Also, she just turned 21. She did a documentary of her show performance, her ideas, who she was going to perform with, all before she did that performance on her birthday. She did like a 2-day video, maybe a week video showing what she was doing before she did that. So she knew, so she's pretty intelligent when it comes to business and money and marketing herself. So if you ever get a chance, even if you don't disagree with her, but think about what she did. She's pretty intelligent with that. So she does have some type of someone there that's teaching her how to do this business, whether we say we like her or not. But, you know, I don't think her music is that bad. I don't think she's not talented. So that's just my personal opinion about Miley. I'm an 80s baby, and I can say that, yes, the music has dumbed down a lot, and I don't want to put reason to this because people from all genre music are just disappointed with music all around, rock, rap, whatever you're a part of with music in general. A lot of people are upset, and it's just like the sound, everything about it has just went down, you know.
Well, that's because there's no talent. I mean, you have to understand what we've done. And hold on. Let me say this. Let me finish. When I say that there's no talent, you have to realize that these guys are not musicians.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of them are not musicians.
That's true.
And so you don't have true authentic creativity if you're with. And don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to diminish what they do with the beats and all that kind of stuff and how they do things with the computers and synthesizers and all that great. I understand it. But as far as being true, talented musicians, even the singers that we have are not true singers because they really, if you take the way all of the technology away from them, they may or may not be able to hold the audience like they should.
Ask Britney Spears.
And
well, I disagree with that, Tracy.
Can I make another comment after
hold on.
Them? Comment
yeah,
after
yes, you can. I'll pull you up. Hold on.
Okay.
Go ahead,
uh-huh.
Mike.
No, let her go ahead, Tracy. Go ahead.
Okay.
I just want to say they do have talent, though, Tracy. When you said, I understand what you're saying. Not natural, but I understand, Tracy. I got you. But they do have talent. You have to synthesize those beats and adjust the tape. You have to have an ear for it. That's talent. That's all I wanted to say. You have to have an ear for it, Tracy.
All right.
But you'd have to explain.
This woman has no talent.
You'd have to to explain.
I'm talking about the producers. I mean, the music makers now. I'm talking about the money makers. I mean, the songwriters and the producers, the ones that get the big dollars.
Listen, don't get me wrong. Dre has great talent in what he does.
Yeah, he does. He does.
But if you take away all of his toys and put him in front of a piano and tell him to make it, he can't do it.
Well, I think Drake can play the piano. I think he actually can play the piano.
No.
I'm not trying to be funny.
No. No. No.
Oh, okay.
He can't play the piano as well as I can. That's bad.
You have to understand.
Everyone faces challenge.
Yeah, Tracy knows these people.
I mean, they're good. I mean, they're good at what they do. And I ain't mad at them because they're making money. I ain't mad at them. I think it's good that they're making money. But overall.
Yeah.
I want to make my comment, and this is why I personally analyzed. Now, just being an 80s baby into hip-hop and all that stuff, what I personally saw when, Nas was like, hip-hop is dead, and then the South became real big into hip-hop music, I'm not blaming, but this is my analysis. I feel like lyrics went down. Once the South got real big, and don't get me wrong, I'm from the South, and I rep the South to my heart. But once the South got real big, it seemed like the lyrical content of the music just wasn't the same anymore. And the reason why I said this is because if you really get into people in the South, a lot of Southern people don't truly have the knowledge of hip-hop as people up North do. They don't have the same mentality that comes with hip-hop as people up North do. Now, you have your chosen artists down South that I love, great lyricists, but if you talk to someone from New York from that time period, they have this very deep political type conversation in the way that they talk about hip-hop, I am hip-hop and stuff. And in the South, it's not like that. That's why the music is so materialistic in a sense. And it's all about dancing because that's what the South is about the heavy drum music and all that, because many of our Motown artists, many of our soul artists came from the South. I mean, shit, the South run music, period. Right, yeah, not even just Cash Money, but even going back to Motown, Temptations, I don't care what you say, they all came from the South because that's where we all come from. I don't care where you're from. You got family in the South, and the South holds music down. Like, I'm not going to knock that.
I would question you on that one.
Okay, hold on. Just hold on a second, brother. And I just want to say that I think that once that happened, it just seemed like the content of music, especially hip-hop and all R&B and all these things, it just went down after that. And I'm not blaming the South. I'm not blaming the South, but I'm saying that's what I saw.
Well, what happened with the renaissance of the South coming up is you had all of the people out of New York, not all, but a lot of them, pack up and move down to Atlanta because they felt that was a huge opportunity, to create a black plexus of musicianship and labels. And
okay.
Then when you get that, then you started getting the people like Little Scrappy, what's my man, Weedy.
Little Wayne,
and all these other guys down there, and they created for themselves a nice little a nice little nexus down there. They're doing good in a lot of things, but still. Even though the industry is there, they're not picking up a whole lot of those guys. It's just some of them. And that's what people aren't grasping.
And I think that they're choosing, we have Outkast. We have Scarface. He's from Texas, but he's still considered the South. Even T.I. is a good artist. But what I'm saying is we have there are some great Southern lyrical artists. But it seems like now the artists that are coming out are the most raunchy, countryest cousin that you could find down South that's making the music. I mean, we all know a Gucci Man. We all went to school with a Gucci Man. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, for my era, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, and now he's a big rapper. But I think that's what I personally see. And the sound of music has went down. And there was a brother that wrote a book on that years ago. A few people have. And just the sound of music, it's not the same anymore. It doesn't even feel the same.
But again, it goes back to the quality and the talent and the creativity. And when you take the creativity out of now, I'll go back to our yesterday's conversation. When you take the creativity out of the classroom and out of the young people, it's kind of hard to create something else because we've taken all that away.
A lot of the stuff that I hear is just samples. I mean, it's recycled music. I mean, you know, I'm hearing stuff that, you know, was made in the 70s, and now it's today's rap music. I mean, I guess they're taking something that's proven and building on it, but
there's no creativity anymore.
Hey, Matt,
go ahead. Some would say.
Hold on, Matt, go ahead.
You know, the thing is, the art form is being lost because, like what we've just been saying, there's no caring about the music anymore. For instance, if Jeff and I were to get together and find a bassist, I have no doubt that we could sit down for hours and improv at the drop of a hat with feeling and actual musicianship. You know how many people are out there that are famous and making all kinds of money off the music that they, quote-unquote, wrote, which most of them didn't, that couldn't sit down for a second and improv anything? The art form is being lost. I don't care if it's R&B, if it's rap, if it's rock and roll, if whatever it is. The art form of making music is being lost, and it's a major problem because just like everything else, in the near future we'll have no ties to it anymore. We won't even know how to do it.
Well, Matt, if you can't count, you can't play music. So they're not teaching them how to count and do math, so they can't play music.
Got to learn how to count.
Well, there's no more.
I'll be right back.
One jello, one.
Yep.
Hey guys, as far as sampling, old hip hop sampled a lot of James Brown, a lot of old 70s
music. Oh yeah,
music.
Definitely.
So that I don't really knock sampling. I just knock.
Yeah.
Like she said, lyrically, I can't say I agree with her. A lot of people from the South, there's a glorification of ignorance. There's a lot of it. So, I mean, that's just true. Well, yeah.
Well, are we missing one factor? I mean, you guys were talking about the race and all the hip-hop, but are we missing one variable? Over 60% to 70% of the hip-hop in the stores are bought by Caucasians.
Well, yeah, they actually go to the store and buy the records, buy the music. When I was younger, I was actually buying records and buying music until this whole download thing came about, you know what I mean? But if you love an artist and you respect
most
that
revenue,
artist,
right, exactly.
Right, but if you love an artist, you're going to pay for their music. There's an underground artist I like, and I will pay full $15, whatever, $16 for that album because I support that artist. So it's about who you are as well when it comes to this. But there's so many ways they market themselves. A lot of them have their own YouTube channels, and they have all kind of way they market themselves. So, you know, I mean, I hear that.
RL Connect, he was on Tariq Nasheed's show yesterday, and he's pushing himself, and I support him. I always liked his music, but he's down here in Atlanta trying to push himself now.
Yeah, it's. I feel kind of bad because for people in the music industry now, I feel kind of bad because it's like music has died down so much. People who are really good, people are not recognizing them. Like the artist I like, he's a that man can sing, and his music is great. But it's just like, it's frustrating because he doesn't even want to be a part of the industry because he knows that he feels like he's going to have to change himself for everyone, and he doesn't want to do that.
Well, don't you agree that all music and all art tries to transform people in some way?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's about your mindset, too. Because if you're not resonating
right
with that music,
people give too much emphasis in the artists. You never do that.
No.
And that's the problem. We give too much. Of course, they're talented. But we give, I mean, some people give too much and they start to transform them like them and they try to live another image, which is wrong. So you have to watch out for the transformer stage.
Well, yeah, that's why I could agree with that. But I said depends on the individual. You know, if you don't know how to, like, I could listen to some ratchet music if you want to put it in that term, you know, Future and all that stuff to entertain myself and dance with my children. But I know what it is. But then again, I'm a grown woman at that. But when it comes to our children, we're going to have to be the ones to teach them. Well, my parents taught me. So that's why I'm the way that I am now. When it comes to music and not being influenced by it like that.
Right, because see, I'm an ADHD too,
right?
You know?
Well, I mean, when I buy a CD or listen to a music, it's affirming who I am. It's affirming what I like to hear. And I'm not going to sit up here and deny it. So it all runs together. But you have to watch out for the total transforming stage. That's what we have a problem in the cities. You guys were talking about how the hip-hop and making people sell this and it's a bad influence. What I'm saying is you can't stop nobody from making the album. And unfortunately, the shock value, that's why Miley Cyrus, that's why she was doing what she, because the shock value, it's entertainment.
Yep.
But the problem is people are the transformation stage, they're totally transforming. You got to keep things in this realm. Like the gentleman said, it's entertainment. You have to keep it in this realm and don't give too much emphasis on no artist. That's all I got to say.
Well, let me say something. Before my parents, my mom has pictures with artists from the 80s because she's from that era. She's from Queens, New York. And the DJ from Naughty by Nature is our first cousin. You know, I grew up around knowing hip-hop all my life.
Hey, ma'am, let me stop you for a second. Who's ever got the radio on? Can they turn it down?
Yeah.
All I'm getting is
the
Yeah, that's not. Yeah, and I just want to say real quick that even with Jerry Springer, my parents would say, my grandmother would say, listen, don't get caught up with that. That's not real. You see? Or don't get caught up with this type of music because this is not what it means. So this is why I have this type of mentality. Take people out there that don't have that. Yes, they will get caught up with that music and believe that and get hyped up with it. You see, I had the tools of someone, an elder telling me, look, don't get caught up with that and put me on the KRS-One and all these type of music and say, listen to what they're saying. And that's all I have to say.
I know where she's coming from, and I get it, and I agree with the gentleman. You can't, other than people talking about going out and just, you know, go ahead and advocating murder, I'll stand shoulder to shoulder with any of these people and say they can do what they want to do. I do that with everybody. Freedom of speech, freedom of your art, or whatever you consider art, okay. The only reason that I speak against it is as a musician, it bothers me because I put a lot of time, a lot of effort into achieving the goals that I achieved a few years ago. I'm out of the business now because it just didn't work. You know, it took too much time and I had to take care of a family and it just wasn't paying for it. But it's an insult to me with some of the things that are coming out and some of the things that are deemed popular and allowed to go forward. It's insulting to me as a musician that these people are considered artists, is my point.
Well, you're talking about the lyrics, basically, sir, because you can't be talking about the production of the music. I mean, are you saying because they're not hitting the drum or you're talking about the lyrics? Be more specific in what you're addressing.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm talking about both. I'll get into that.
You can't get under it.
So high, you can't get over it. You can't get over it. Dance away.
Now, is this talent or is this sample?
Oh,
that's talent.
That's pure
that
D talent.
That is pure talent.
Sure?
No hands down.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
That's talent, right?
I've seen enough Funkadelic concerts to know.
I just want
to. All I got to do is say one word to you. You from the sharing line?
When I'm 7 years old, this is what I
did.
Where
did come from?
That was y'all national anthem.
Where did
Boogie
come from?
Am I right?
What did I say?
Sharing line University. That was a national anthem. Maggot brain. No words.
The number, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229.
It is Black Music Month, too.
No, Black Music Month is in June.
No, I thought it was in...
No, this is Black History Month. No, Black Music Month is June.
Okay, then I apologize.
Black Music Month is June.
Okay.
But it is Black History Month, so they say, but we just going to do American history. I want to pull up 240, your mic is on.
Oh, I'm still here.
Okay.
I'm not saying anything. I'm
okay. Right. And I mean, I'm just looking. I mean, we talked about talent. We talked about, you know, that's talent.
That's huge talent.
That's talent.
Yeah, huge talent.
I have a question for you. How did they make it when you really didn't have a whole lot of Black radio stations across the nation?
Oh, man.
So you didn't have no distribution.
Word of mouth.
And so if you did it then,
everybody was listening.
And as a matter of fact, if you look at George Clinton, you know, he didn't start getting Grammys until he had gray hair going down, gray dreadlocks.
Yes, true.
So why is it that we are chasing after something that's crazy when I look at, you know, George Clinton and Roger Troutman and, Bootsy Collins, you know, we was rolling with them. They wasn't getting a Grammy one.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't sample them in the commercials or nothing.
Oh, yeah, New Year's Eve, this is what we played growing up.
Seems like they got more money later in their years, from my understanding.
Well, they got a whole lot more money because they started sampling them. You can't that kind of talent right there is so raw. They can't reproduce that. So my question is, why don't we create our own and do it again? And why are we worrying about the record labels to make it happen when you have a global society with the World Wide Web?
Well, it's about distribution because it's that money power. See, sometimes they can get together and they can spend an unlimited amount of money on an investment. Meaning sometimes they get together and say, we want this goal done, and no matter how much it costs, we're going to get it done. A lot of people don't have that mentality and that power to do that. But
no,
it's the distribution.
In today's society,
on
I don't really have
scale.
To worry. You're not listening, sweetie. In today's society, I really don't have to worry about the DJ playing my song.
Yeah. You just
put it on
your computer and play it.
Mm-hmm.
I can make my world and hit the social media and make things happen. And then I don't know why we don't. I mean, if we need to network our own selves.
Even
in books and publishing. Same thing.
Yeah, Tracy, you know something else, too? And you know the strangest thing, but I see something beautiful in this. There's this artist called J.J. Fishgod. He cannot sing. He can't hold a tune in a bucket. And he's making videos now, and he does not care. And people got, he gets millions of views. He even did some with Taylor, the Creator. And he sounds horrible. But the thing is, though he sounds this way, it's the way he thinks about himself and the way he markets himself. And I feel like what you're saying is what we can learn from this very young man. Though we may say he sucks, or people who can really sing may feel insulted that he's doing bigger than them and he's on iTunes, we have to look at the bigger picture. So I totally agree with you on that.
And I'm saying that I appreciate that we all want to be, we all want to be acknowledged for what we do. But it's time for us to use the networks and what's in our hand and create our own.
Well,
you guys are.
That's what we do.
Yeah, but the thing is the last person that had a system of their own distribution, they put him in jail for tax evasion. Marcus Garvey, he owned truck lines throughout this country, and he had a fleet of trucks. And nobody ever – why isn't that ever taught to us, what Marcus Garvey did, unless you go –
The only thing you know about
New
Marcus
York,
Garvey is he wants you to go back to Africa.
Right, New York or Philadelphia or any of that other stuff. If you don't go to those places, you will never hear that. I mean, you hear it here because we have people like Brother Kay and the people that bring out these facts. But it's not broadcast. And we have to understand that we can own our own and we can do for our own if we want to. But more times than not, we don't want to.
It's that we don't want to, or we don't know how.
Well, no, we refuse to work with each other.
Well, I think a lot of it.
Who's the artist in this room? Who's the artist in here?
Who's an artist? There's a couple of them in here.
No, right here.
Four.
How can I listen to the music? I want to look them up on YouTube.
Yeah, anybody some singers? I've been, I'm into R&B. Well, I'm kind of getting sick of rap. No offense.
whoever has an account on YouTube with music, can I please get your name so I can YouTube it? If you don't mind me listening to the music.
You know what? We will get you a list. Jeff says he doesn't have his music on YouTube. The other engineer, he's an engineer, so he doesn't have it on there. Matt, you don't do anything, do you?
I don't have anything on YouTube, no. We made a few albums, but never. If it is on the internet, I don't know where it's at, but I could find
that.
Listen,
but if you go to Sweet Thunder.
That's the song right there still.
If you go to Sweet Thunder on YouTube, you'll find it. Who else has their own channel out there?
What do you mean own channel?
I know Sweet Thunder has their own channel. Does Baby Brother have their own channel?
I don't think so.
There's a couple of them. I'll get you a list. Let me check over the weekend.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's how we make it. That's what we have to really, really understand. That's how we make it. And hopefully, eventually we will be able to do that and have that kind of resource so that we will be able to exchange information. Because we shouldn't have to depend on everybody else to do what we need to do. But then we also need to learn how not to pirate everybody else's music. 440, your mic is on.
Yeah, I still find it kind of curious that you're worried about as a whole how to do things when it's not about that. It's about as an individual. Like a couple weeks back, you asked me about the black company that does the fracking, the gas and oil fracking. All right? You know where they're at?
They're in
North Dakota right now, the hotbed of gas and oil fracking. And
okay.
They ain't telling nobody. They're not telling nobody. It's
I don't
all
blame
about them.
Them.
Yeah, exactly. You see where I'm coming from?
But can you repeat that again?
People aren't going to tell. Not everybody's going to know how to do certain things. All right? Nobody's going to share that secret with you. And they're not going to share that. They're going to go out there and they're going to
name something that you can do by yourself, sir. Name one thing in this world that you can be successful and do by yourself.
I'm telling you this way.
Why keep a secret on money? That's the problem of the world. You're greedy. That's a greedy mentality.
Wait a minute. Mike.
There's nothing you can do by yourself in this world. Name it.
Mike, let me say it to you this way. KFC will never give me the secret,
the recipe.
The secret to the recipe. They would never, they would never let that out.
But KFC would be nothing without their customers, and if they don't do their business right,
you would,
that's a fact.
Listen.
Do we have the problem or don't we,
Let me say this about this. Forget the Obama BS, please. You didn't
build
that, because that's what that is. That's a bunch of BS.
No, that's a fact.
Why on earth would you get your cigarette away, man?
You can't
be
saying that statement, Jeff, I made. If you're successful, I guarantee you can't do it by yourself.
I gotta,
you can't move from that fact, Jeff.
Hello?
I'm going to say it just like this, though.
That's not an opinion statement, Jeff. That's a fact.
It's not a fact. And here I'm going to prove it. Okay. The first person that built a road was for what reason? Can you tell me? Why were roads built?
Mike, why were roads built?
Did they drop off?
No, they're there.
Okay, no, nobody's talking. Well, anyway, when a business gets into a little area, you have a granary or a windmill, whatever it is, they built a road to that place so that they could easily get there products to it to get processed. Somebody created a need and somebody built a road. When you have to get out to your ranch that you have 500 head of cattle on, you build a road and put up fences. That's what. That's how things get done. It is not because of the people that work for you did it or the people that buy from. No, no, not unless people do buy from you, because they don't have to buy from you. That's what that BS is all about. He's trying to make this collectivism, and we are not collective.
Let me say this.
All right, when you didn't build that comment.
Yeah. Hey, Eric.
Yes.
Let me say this. You got to understand. We need each other to make things happen. We need it all. I will agree with that. But if I don't build it, you can't come. And if you don't come, I can't build it.
Right.
And it's just that simple. But I have to have the resources to make sure that when I build it, I can still have sustainability. And so whether it be the, you know, when I look at 440, what he called it, he says, you know, he's not telling anybody what he's doing. No, he's not. But that's where I differ. Hold on. That's where I differ when it comes to who I stand as I stand as a person. I believe that I'm still responsible for my own collective community.
Right. Right, exactly. In that community, I guarantee you, you're doing it for other people. Now, he asked me a question. The first person who built the road, he built it because other people were having problems tracking back and forth. Listen, even if I do something, I'm thinking about others. When I start a business, I'm thinking about my customers and my end result. I guarantee it. And I'm letting you know I'm going to have other people to help me to be that way. When people don't have that mentality, that's why you have these big businesses and you have these greedy people that make tens of billions of dollars, and guess what? Their workers are struggling on minimum wage and they're on food stamps. Over 60% of the people on welfare that are working. So I'm letting you know we need a balance. That's all I'm saying. That's all I want to say.
And what I'm saying is...
That's not an opinion. That's a fact.
What'd you say, Eric?
Hey, Tracy, no, it's not Eric.
Hi, Stanley.
How are you? I have to say, I agree with this. I'm sorry, Jeff. Without customer, you don't have a business.
But without business, I don't have
a business. Without customer, I'm sorry. As a business owner, if I don't have customers, I'm done.
Hey,
I don't care. I don't
Stanley.
Care. I could be inventing anything that I want, but if there's no demand, I'm done.
Stanley, that's what creates wealth, Stanley, is when you create something that everybody wants.
Yes, but if there's no demand,
Wait a minute.
I could create... Let's go to your logic. I create something. I create whatever I create. If there's no customer or no demand or nobody's saying, I want to have what Stanley has, I'm done.
Stanley, once again, do you watch Shark Tank?
Yes, I do.
I'm asking you questions. Now, if you watch Shark Tank, you see quite a few worthless inventions being brought out there to get invested in.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few. So my point is this. How you create wealth is not because a lot of people just came and gave, put some money into you and bought what you had. It's because you created something that people wanted, and they beat
yes,
a path
but,
to
but,
your
but
doorway.
Yes, but the point that we're trying, Jeff, is yes, there
There's
is a
no
point.
Point.
The point
Hold
that wait, Jeff, there is a point because like Tracy is saying, the point we're saying, yes, I created the whatever I created because of demand. But if the demand is not there, if there's no customer who wants that product, you're done.
Stanley,
I don't understand
Stanley.
Your point.
Wait a minute. You said I create business and I have to have customer.
Yes.
Hold on, Stanley. You said that. I'm telling you,
yes.
If you watch, we were talking about Shark Tank. Mr. Wonderful, the bottom line is he's asking this question. How much money can I make on your product that your customer that you say your customers want?
Yeah, he's
and,
taking
and,
a risk.
And what he says is, if he doesn't see the dineros at the end of the day, this is what they say: I'm out.
I'm out.
So we, you have to understand.
Yeah, but that's
business,
investing. That's a different thing.
No, Stanley. I don't care. Every product you have has an investment component, whether I invest my own or whether someone invests in me. And at the end of the day, if I look at my bottom line and I don't see a profit, the word is I'm out.
Yeah, why would you take a risk with no one, there's no reward? That makes no sense, Stanley.
Okay, and I agree there, but the problem
the
is, I agree with
that
what
me.
No, I agree with what you're saying. Without profit, you do a business because you want to have profit. But the problem is, like one of the callers is, we're too much driven on the profit thing and not driven on, basically, if you own a business and everything, saying to yourself, okay, I'm making profit, but thinking of saying that, oh, I made a profit all on my own, and so I'm not going to pay my employees. I'm not going to treat them what they deserve.
No,
that I
well,
didn't
then don't do business with them, man. Don't do business
Stanley,
with them.
Stanley, I hired
you
at $8 an hour. You agreed to it. I don't owe you a doggone thing.
Wait. You've hired me at $8 an hour, but if it wasn't for the effort of your employees working at $8 an hour, and let's say you make $1 billion of profit,
you
owe it to yourself to not pay the – that's where we have differed. That's why I don't agree with you.
Listen. Musa, listen. If the work that you're doing – I only value $8 an hour, then it is up to you either to create a need for me to want to pay you more,
mm-hmm.
or for you to go somewhere else who will value you what you do for more than $8 an hour.
Yeah,
it is
if you
not,
stock groceries on a shelf, oh, that's what you do.
Okay, but Tracy, let me ask you a question.
Hold on, let me finish. Because the other day, Jeff and I have been traveling. I'm going to quit traveling with Jeff because he's a bad, you know, geez, oh, man. It is big behind. But I've been traveling with Jeff. And we went through the drive-thru at a fast-food restaurant, which is toxic. But we were
hungry.
Oh,
my God.
And so when you go through the drive-thru and you're on the freeway and you're traveling, you go through the drive-thru, you get in the car, and you keep on going. You don't stop, drive-thru, keep on going, get down the street. So I get my burger out the bag, and we go down the street. Jeff takes his time because he's talking on the phone, as always. And I'm out the way. I'm on the freeway down the road. Jeff pulls out his burger, and it says, this is not what I ordered. He says, what I order has cheese. And this, what I order has this. This is not what I order. And then Jeff looks at me and says, and they want $15 an hour to do that.
That's right. You tell me it's worth that. It's not worth that.
That's the right thing to do, guys.
Jobs don't exist to make a living for you. You exist to work to make a living.
The question I want to ask you. So let's say you do a company, and that company, you've done it with your employees, and you have a profit of $10 million. Should you keep that $9 million on your own because you're the owner, or should you take that profit, $10 million, give maybe $3 million on you, and the $7 million you share it with the employees that brought you to that business? What should you do? Or should you not do anything? You should just say it's mine and I could do whatever I want. And that's why we.
There was a song.
Stanley, listen here. Listen.
Hold on, South Carolina.
Let me answer the question straight out. I'm gonna do what I want to do with my money that I make my profit on. And when I say that, if I feel the need to give it away, I'll do that. Now, I'm not promising
and
I will give
that,
it to my Stanley. I'm not promising I will give it to my employees.
Okay. And you know what? What happens when
Stanley,
you do that, Tracy?
Stanley.
You know what happens?
No.
You bring greed.
No.
Yes, you
no.
do.
No, no,
yes,
you
can
bring
Stanley,
greed.
You're not.
You
hold
bring
on,
greed.
Stanley. Did you hear what I said? I said I may give it away, but I may not give it to
and
my
you
employees.
May not.
So
you may not.
So why
may
do
not
I have
also.
To, Stanley? Why do I have to give it to my employees? Why can't I give it to a cancer shelter or a homeless shelter or a job
mm-hmm.
shelter?
No.
Why do I have to give it to the people that are working for me?
May I answer that? I answer that.
Go ahead.
Well, I think you should do it because, like any business,
Now you're going to say you're a small business, but small business or any business. Any business owner or any politics should look at the economic times and see how gas prices rose through the years and minimum wage has been low and stagnant and stayed the same. And so that means that people have been hurting. But so like companies as Walmart and looking at their personal accounts, what they get, they should have a sense of America's troubles, struggling, minimum wage. It's a part of our politics. And as a company, they should bring it up a little bit. That's all.
Why?
They do.
Because
why?
They can look at the economic times. What do you
it's
mean,
not,
why?
It's not about economic times. It's about, brother, listen to me.
So,
it's about what you will go to work for. If you will work for what Walmart pays, then you're not concerned about making more unless you know that they have a step thing. And plus, they got the best healthcare system in the world.
Let me say it this way,
okay.
Honey.
Walmart makes almost $14,000 per year.
Listen here. Let me explain this to you. Let me break this down to you real tight how this works.
1.5 million employees around the world.
Hold on. Let's talk about Mega Millions lottery.
Powerball.
Okay, let's talk about the Powerball when it get up to $15 million, $20 million, $30 million. And around here at the studio, everybody puts in $2 trying to win the Mega Millions.
And I ask them,
well, when you somebody's got the radio on up too high. I ask them, when you win, are you coming back to work the next day? And everybody tells me,
yeah.
No.
Oh no! I hear the idiots to say, "Yeah, I'm going to do just what I always done."
No. Listen. I ask him. I said, "Well, if we win, we all going to come back to work the next day the Powerball is on. Hold on Saturday. We all going to come to work on Monday." He said, "Yep, we all going to come to work and clean out our desks and say goodbye."
You know what, Tracy? I actually would go back to work, not for the rest of my life, but I would go back to work to train somebody else to do my job. And make sure that the owner of my company is set when I leave.
Hold on. You got a different kind of company. But my question is, the majority of people say they quit and they do. So you guys act like employees have a loyalty to their employer.
No, there's no loyalty, Jay. Tracy, there's no loyalty. But can't go with employees.
So why in the world would I
– no
hold on. Why in the world would I come back and give my profit back then and this redistribute my wealth to the employees?
Because if you do, you will have a better company and you will have employees that will say, hey, we need to stay in that company because it's a great company. You will have the difference between Costco and Walmart. You will have the difference between – go ahead.
Hey, Stanley, listen. You know what? GM tried that years ago with the unions. And what happened? They went bankrupt. Chrysler did the same thing. They went bankrupt. Pontiac is no longer in
business. Costco didn't go bankrupt. Is Costco bankrupt?
Chrysler did go bankrupt. Can you say
Costco.
Lee Iacocca?
Costco is not bankrupt. Costco.
Chrysler.
Costco bankrupt. Chrysler. Yeah, it went bankrupt.
Can I ask Tracy a quick question, please? Can I ask Tracy a question?
No, because she's in break right now.
Oh.
And Costco's probably going to go bankrupt, too, though, to be
well,
honest.
Listen,
so how
Costco,
is Costco going to go bankrupt?
Costco is a different story. It's not – listen, Costco made that they did that on their own. They did that on their own to take care of their employees. It wasn't forced by a government entity.
No, it wasn't forced by the government, but do you think that they're taking care of the employees doesn't make a difference? As a business owner, it does not make a difference you don't take care of your employees?
No, I agree with you. Stanley,
how are you going to take care of your employees?
Hold on. I'm agreeing with you, and you're yelling at me. Listen to me. I agree.
You're the best way to keep it on your
talk, I agree that for a private company to have success, you need to take care of your employees. I understand that because
it's
that's good.
Morale.
That's good
morale.
Hold
in
on.
Any business,
that
in
is.
Any,
let
in
me
morale.
Please finish my thoughts, sir. That is called good business practices for the United States government to step in and make these companies do that is completely wrong because
wrong.
So what are we supposed to do when companies decide not to do it?
You go
to
what are we supposed
to
do?
Don't work for Costco.
Sir, do you remember history? What about our labor law? Do you remember American history now? There's reasons why we have this, sir. You forget the reasons why we come up with this. Now, I agree we should restructure, but there is a reasons why we have these regulations, because people don't know how to treat people a certain way.
Boy.
People be greedy, and people treat them any certain way.
Look at history. If it wasn't for the labor law and everything, I'm sorry, if it wasn't for the law of seeing minimum wage, some people calling.
Alex, tell me
that all business would decide to pay people at $7 or $8 an hour. Tomorrow you would go back in history and say, we're not going to have a minimum. You think owner and business people wouldn't pay people at $2 an hour or $1? Really?
All right, Stanley, here. Just give you $30 an hour to push a broom, Stanley, because that's the right thing to do, right? Just you know, matter of fact, make it 40. Why not?
Right, go 70. If it's such a great idea, let's pay them all.
Yeah, but make it 50 cents that somebody should be working.
I'm the owner of the business.
I can do whatever I want.
Stanley,
yeah,
I live
in a cardboard box and my janitor drives a Mercedes, Stanley. That makes a lot of sense, boy. I love your business idea. You know,
the way you sound and everything, you're saying, why don't we pay them $50 and I'm coming to the same way.
Stanley, listen, we know doggone well if I'm paying somebody $20 an hour, I'm making about five times, probably seven or eight times that. Come on, if I'm good, hopefully, if I got people working for me as a business. Only thing I'm saying is,
man,
it depends on what type of business I'm in. I'm just saying.
What kind of business you're in. What does that mean?
Listen, for instance, Walmart is making $14,000 per employee. They're making a lot of per hour, sir. What are you talking about per employee?
We have to have a balance. Absolutely. Go business by business.
No, I'm saying we have to have a balance, sir.
And tell people like a Gestapo-type attitude that they have to
pay.
Well,
why do we come up with labor laws, sir? Why did we come up with the Family Leave Act, sir? Because people were having trouble getting off on their jobs, sir. It was stressful. You know there's clicks, and you know it's working in some jobs.
Dude, I used to get punched by my boss in the face.
Well, you crazy as shit if you didn't sue him.
You should own his company. I quit that job and did you sue him?
And did you
that
sue
guy
him?
Who punched me
did you sue
in
him?
His face because
and
of
did you sue him?
But
did you
I
sue him?
The
government says you can sue him, sir. The law says you can. The regulation says you can sue him, sir. You don't treat people like that.
Because that was his business practice,
I knew I could hurt him more by putting it out of business. Sir. That's no worse than no thug on the street right now in the corner, sir. What are you talking about? But I'm saying I don't want to deal with no freaking practice.
Somebody punched you in your mouth and you didn't sue him.
All right. Okay.
Wow, you didn't sue him. I thought you were suing him.
I didn't have time to sue him. I had a family to take care of, so I had to work. So I found another job.
Wait, you had to work when somebody punched you in your face?
Yeah, I went
so you're still going to work when somebody punched you in your face?
For about a year.
So you're still going to work when
somebody... What in the world? Was it another country or something? You know, you got punched in the face by your boss? Yeah. Were you in another country?
No, it was here in Ohio. It happened. Not from another
country. Sir, I don't mean no harm. Listen, you have that. I don't mean no harm. You may have that conservative attitude where you say people sue over McDonald's coffee spill and how these frivolous lawsuits. Sir, don't let that stuff persuade you. I'm just saying things are situational, and what you're telling me, I would own half of that company. That's all I'm saying. But teacher,
I'm a man, and I made my own path instead of
Define a man like that. You saying if I would have sued him, I'm not a man. See, that's the problem. You did not. Now you're defining what a man is. What right is right and what's wrong is wrong. And I'm saying he needs to be taught a lesson.
You're the owner. I'm going to put you in. I'm going to go get a lawyer and do whatever I need to
of
put you
down. Of course you will, because you have time to do that. I don't.
No,
I
it has nothing to do with being time. It's like we say, right is wrong.
Hey, look, my lawyer would have ate that up. I wouldn't have spent no time on it, and unless I would have my other job, and my lawyer would have ate the case up.
Do you know how long that court case would have taken to go through the system?
My lawyer
would have
Who cares?
Right is right and wrong is wrong.
High
school
records, my lawyer would have taken care of it.
Well, that's good.
You
worked
anyway.
I put him out of business.
Okay. Wow. Right to each his own. Right. Well, to each his own.
So that's the whole thing. I'm sorry. I have a problem when I heard 2 weeks ago 85% of the richest people have more money than 5 billion people. I'm sorry. I have a problem with that. I have a problem when five people at Walmart have more money than 40% of Americans.
What is wrong with them having their own? That's their money. Why the hell?
No. There's something wrong. You didn't do it on your own. Wait. It's maybe your money, but you did it on your. You didn't do it on your own. You did it because you had the help of 400 people
in this country.
Exactly.
Crazy.
If it wasn't
crazy.
For those people, you
fight
wouldn't be
crazy.
Making
wages,
that money.
This man is making this statement.
That's
we fight
crazy.
For a living wage, and we spend over 60% of the people
living
that
wage,
are on getting
hey, I tell you what,
welfare
hey,
that's
you
working,
live, you,
sir.
The living wage is you live off the wages you receive. That's the living wage.
Wow, most
like
people that's on
job.
Welfare, listen, most people that's on welfare are working. Remember welfare work reform? That's a fact, sir. Over 63%. Y'all never
and what does
that
have to do
fact.
Anything? Go out, get an education, get you a better job.
No, and right. I'm letting hold up.
And
yes,
it doesn't guarantee just because you have an education that you'll have a better job.
But
why are
you doing it? You still should give me some type of living wage. So
anyway.
You make me laugh. You think it's just having an education guarantee a better job?
You don't know nothing about me, sir. You don't know nothing about my bank account. And you listen, you deter me over this conversation. I'm just saying, give them a living wage so these guys won't sell these drugs and sling drugs while they're going to school and stuff. Give them something. I'm letting you know it's unbalanced. You cannot deny that. It's unbalanced, sir. Look
it
at
is.
The math.
I'm sorry.
Look,
it
look.
Is. Five people at Walmart have more
math.
Money than 40% of people in America?
It's unbalanced, sir. That's
God.
All I'm saying. Just give a little bit more. Just take a little bit off the table. That's all.
Never
that's
heard
all
such
ask.
Whining and complaining.
No.
It's not whining. How can you stand up as a human being and say 5% has more money than 40% of the people at the bottom?
You whine when people get food stamps, when most of the people get food stamps.
Yeah,
because
I'm
sir.
Paying
you're
for
whining.
That, sir.
And
yeah, he's right about that.
We're saying give them a living wage so they won't qualify for food stamps. So either you pay
them
hourly,
a living wage so some of these companies go out of business, especially small companies, and we got to pay for that
starving.
One. But let
no
me say
child is
going to
look like an Ethiopia, sir, in America, sir.
Yeah,
ain't nobody going starving. It ain't happening.
What
let me
we
add
get
something
rid
else
of
about
it.
It's not happening.
Also, the food stamps is not necessarily for the parent. It's for the children. Because when you apply
exactly.
for, when you're working, you make your X amount of money. Dad makes his X amount of money if you put dad on the account too. But
welfare
the money really counts, right? The thing is, food stamps is not even counted as welfare. If you go there, they're going to say, do you have welfare or food stamps? They're going to separate it. But with the food stamps, when you're working, that money really goes to your children. That money is not really so much for you. They'll tell you that. They'll ask you how many children you have, and they'll calculate it by the children and by the age of the children. So most people who get food stamps, it's not necessarily just for them.
Well,
unless
it's family-based, though, man. But I'm saying, though, it's family. But I understand what you're saying, but it's family-based. The mother's going to eat, too. But it's family-based.
Right,
and income-based. And it's
right.
income-based, and they can't deny
it. Let me share, too. There's programs and social services where if you get a job through them, they will still provide you with food stamps as long as you're working. And there's some jobs that after a while, they will still provide you with the money as long as you're working through them.
Really?
Yeah. What's that? Parks and Recreation. I did that when I was going to school. Parks and Recreation. You can still get the money from them for the X amount of time that you're there, maybe like up to 3 to 4 months or X amount of time. Would you still get the money in your food stamps? But you keep your food stamps and you still work. But see, some people don't know about that, but this is what's going on. It's a temporary job, though. Right. That's the thing, unless you choose to take a test and try to get the job permanently. So it's about how you do it and why you have to temp
job.
But
there's many people that's working at Walmart right now, and I'm letting you know, I've seen, there's many people that's working at Walmart and making that company that's on food stamps, and that's what I'm saying. And I'm saying across the board, they could be making $13.50 an hour across America starting out at Walmart if just... collectively, if the Walmart family, instead of making $20 billion collectively, just make 10 and give it back to an employee. That, I'll state that statement. That's a fact.
That's a fact. It's always a fact. Gotcha. Always a fact.
Well, why?
I don't know.
Now, then they won't qualify for food stamps.
Hey, we're back. Hey, we're back. Hey, we're back. Here on WSOM AM 107 is happy hour for 11 o'clock. And we are heading down on the upswing on Rome some of the week. And Jeff is in the studio with me, and I've got some friends in the studio with me. And they are the owners of a Caribbean restaurant here. Did I get that right? And I got that right now. I was going to switch over to Bob Marley, but I just can't switch. Hey, I'm back. And listen, whoever is out there that has the radio on, you've got to turn it down.
I hear the pots and pans clinking in the background.
Yeah, I hear.
Tracy, I had a question for you, too, whenever you...
Okay. So they brought me something to eat. They brought me some lunch. Jeff can't eat any, so I'm sorry. He can't eat any. Sorry, Jeff.
I know you are.
Sorry, Jeff, but you brought breakfast and didn't bring me none.
Mm.
And didn't even call and say, listen, I'm stopping at the restaurant and you want anything.
I did call you.
No.
You didn't answer your phone.
Uh-uh.
Never
answers the phone.
Thank you. That's a good lady right there.
See there.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy, why don't you tell them what you're eating?
What? I'm eating curry goat. I'm eating rice. I'm eating jerk chicken, and I'm eating plantains, and I'm eating curry goat. And actually, I ate during my break. So when you hear me chomping and burping, it's really good. I've enjoyed it. They have it's a wonderful restaurant. It's located over on Hillman Way, which is behind Burger King on the corner of Market and Midlothian here in the Mahoning Valley. And Sandra.
The only Caribbean restaurant in the valley.
Oh, no.
The only authentic Caribbean restaurants in the valley. You gotta get my boys to come and play for you guys in the summertime and bring attention to yourself.
Have we ever had
Rudy and the Professionals?
Yeah.
Now, Rudy's Bahamian, and I know Bahamians, and you know, but over here it doesn't matter.
No. basically, the idea behind the restaurant is. It's a fusion. All the Caribbeans together into one place.
Hold on. Who's got the radio on? You hear that, Jeff?
Yes, I do.
So I'm going to take everybody out.
You
got to
go one at a time.
so I find out who is the culprit of the radio being on.
How about now? It's gone.
It's gone.
You found him.
I just don't know who it is yet.
Yeah, as I was saying, we're a fusion of all the Caribbean food and dishes, the best of the Caribbean. It's not one particular style of food. We have the Haitian dishes, Trinidadian, Jamaican, and
Dominica.
Dominica.
Barbados.
You better talk into the mic. You can't move back. Come on up. There you go. Come on up.
You know, it's a fusion. The best of the Caribbean dishes we put together into one place. So we are very, we're looking at catering to everyone that is from everywhere, every place that loves spicy, authentic,
tasty,
well-prepared.
From scratch.
From scratch. Food. That's basically what we're all about. And we'll.
And you guys have been in the Valley for how long?
Since Maine last year.
Yeah. We were in a different location, which was in Austin Town.
But now you're in Austin City.
Right. So we moved closer to where everyone can migrate to a central place, which makes it easier for us to meet and greet anyone that can enjoy home good cooking at a very lively, lovely place.
Well, I will say this. I'm a big Caribbean. I love plantains. Everybody, I have an affinity for plantains. It's a wonderful.
Yeah, you spoke of plantains before before she even came.
You
didn't
understand.
And was talking about plantains. So
dried,
I said, you must really be.
I got it bad.
That's all right.
They say they're good for you.
Well, of course they are.
I didn't share, did I?
No, she didn't.
And I like curry goat.
And it's empty. Oh, okay, Tracy.
Tracy's still on a diet.
She is, yeah.
Seafood
Ooh.
Diet.
Seafood diet.
No. I got to help out my folks. And the name of the restaurant is?
Flambeau's Caribbean Takeout.
What does flambeau mean?
Flame. It's French word.
It's a burning
flame.
It's
a burning flame.
Heat. On the end of a stick, actually. But,
yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, how do you know that?
4 years of French.
Yes.
But how do you know it's burning on the end of a stick?
Because I had 4 years of French.
Okay.
Well, we are looking for a great turnout on the 18th of February. We're going to do a re-grand opening at the new location that is set for February 18th.
But now you are open now.
Yes.
Right.
What are your hours?
We're open from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. Fridays we stay open a couple hours later because people just keep coming in. So
okay.
We're there.
Well,
once we're there.
On Fridays, people don't.
You can turn the air on, Jeff.
Yeah. I will. They're doing everything. They're going out. They're
right.
Doing this, that, and other. So.
Right. So that's what we figured out, that Fridays and Saturdays, we're probably going to be there until 9.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have delivery services throughout the surrounding area on a limited basis. You know, if you call in, we have the means. We definitely will deliver.
You guys will deliver?
Yeah.
What is the base price for delivery?
$15.
For $15, you will deliver
free
to the
delivery.
Studio. Free delivery.
Yeah, free.
Free
wow.
Means tip the driver. That's what free means, y'all. Hey, listen, the number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. Hey, New York, you had a comment. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I wanted to know, with the commercials, do you do that, or does the show just do the commercials on its own? Because I noticed the commercials just jump on. Are you doing that?
I'm doing that. I'm supposed to be paying attention, but sometimes I'm not.
And you do it at a certain time, or you just flow with
it? I'm supposed to do it at a certain time, but I don't always go by the rules.
Yeah, we have what's called a clock.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to work a certain way, but...
I
because you all like to talk so much, we can't always get it in.
Yeah. But I'm working on it. I'm working on discipline. So soon we will be on a steady clock, and you'll know where we're going at and at what time.
Our people that buy directly always get played.
All commercials. Only ones that don't always get played are your PSAs.
Yeah, PSAs.
PSAs are preemptible.
Right.
If you got cash, it's like with anything else.
Money talks. Absolutely.
Because
I gotta have enough money to give away to my employees.
So you have sponsors with commercials and stuff.
Correct. We go out and sell advertising. So if anybody's looking to advertise, they can always call me at Tracy and or Tracy at TracyandFriends.com or Tracy or call me at 330-720-0000.
No, I was asking because I wanted to learn about getting some sponsors for my show. That's why I asked about. That's why I'm asking you.
Give me a call off the air. I just gave you my number, and I'll help you out.
Oh, I just didn't get it. Can you text it or what did you say? Hold on.
330-720-0000.
Oh, that's easy. Okay.
But you know, this is what we were talking about. We were talking about, you know, we are supposed to be helping one another out. And whatever business that you're in so that you can actually grow. And what's happening is we have lost that art. We've lost the art of bartering. We've lost the art of community and being honest.
And sharing.
Sharing.
Yep.
And being honest with one another. You know, if I don't like something, then I need to tell you I don't like something. Don't go tell Jeff I don't like something.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Or tell, give the comment based on what you think can make it better.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Constructive
criticism.
And that's something that we have to learn how to do and do better. You know, in our restaurants, in our foods,
yep.
in our process, in our radio stations,
right.
everything. And then when you make it, you're supposed to go back and help the people that helped you.
Yeah.
Now, Stanley, I'm not going to say you're supposed to help the employees that you paid. But then there's the people that gave the extra mile. They worked $8 an hour, and when you couldn't afford to pay them overtime, they just stayed and worked.
Right.
Absolutely.
As
an employer, I'm supposed to take care of them. I need to give you a piece of my business because without you, I couldn't have made it.
Right.
But you got employees that show up late, leave early, and take a two-hour lunch.
Can I tell you a little story?
Yeah.
So when we first started, we had interviews, and there was this person. Her name is Ramona.
Yeah.
She showed up at the restaurant to interview for the job. Ramona worked at Cavelli Center part-time. She quit her job and decided that she was going to be hired by Flambeau's.
Yeah.
So she was going to be part of Flambeau's. So what did we do? She turned, I think, 52. She's going to kill me. Last Monday, we gave her a 1% share of the company. That's what we did.
She told me.
2%, I'm sorry.
She told
2%
me.
Share.
She told me.
Of the company.
And
because let me tell you something. Without Mona, we wouldn't be here.
Now, see, Stanley, that's what we're talking about.
Now, that's how that's supposed to work. I'm not supposed to just give it to you because you go to work and I pay you a pay.
No.
Does that make sense?
There's always a reward for a job well done. So basically when someone gets the job done or go beyond and above, there's always some sort of reward in place for that person, you know.
And it should be.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what we're about. You know, it's really weird. Everybody keeps asking, why Youngstown? Well, why not Youngstown?
Yeah.
Why not?
Youngstown's a great place for a Caribbean restaurant. I'd like to see a bigger, better, you know, full-scale restaurant, full service.
It is a struggle.
Absolutely.
But we are keeping up with it. We are hoping that the community brings the support to make sure that we stay in place.
And you guys do catering too, don't you?
Yes, we do.
I mean, I stopped by one night and you guys were catering a function over at the pool place.
Yeah, the Caribbean pool for the Rotary.
Caribbean pools and hot tubs.
And that was phenomenal.
Yes. And you guys do specialties for people?
The thing is, what we're trying to do is you can request what you want, and once it's not impossible, like somebody requested conch salad.
Who?
I wonder. Let me think.
Huh. Don't know who would request that. Mm.
And very soon the conch would be there.
Oh, good. Good. I mean, we don't have to have it all the time. Just every now and then. Special,
yeah, conch
special occasion.
Soup.
I've never had conch soup.
That's
conch salad.
Well, see what I mean? We're with the salad and the soup.
Now, on Sunday, you guys have a buffet.
Sunday brunch.
Sunday brunch. And there's something that goes on Sunday.
The thing is, we have a special ackee and saltfish. So if you're from Jamaica, anybody from Jamaica will know what ackee is.
I don't think I've ever met. You met anybody from Jamaica here?
Yes.
Who?
Oh,
Gordon. Gordon, that's Jamaica time.
Jeff
No. I'm thinking of Peter Green. He's from.
He's not from Jamaica.
He's from. My sister preached down there. And I can't think of.
Never mind, Jeffrey. Where's this is your old?
Where's the gentleman?
Hello, Tracy.
Hey, how you doing, Pianki?
It's cold up here, about 5 below.
Well, it's causing you to appreciate the warmth when it comes.
I'm going back to it.
You're going back
I'm
to where?
I'm waiting on it to the warmth. I'm not waiting on it to come.
I don't know. Didn't you marry a wife from Africa? Didn't you go over there and have a wedding or something?
Yeah, she's from Ghana.
Now, didn't you realize you want to go over to spend some time with her in the wintertime with her family?
Well, I could, but I have some kids here that needs baseball training, and my grandson. But I hope that restaurant has some of Laurel Hawthorne's famous Golden Crust bakery items in it. Then it really push off.
What,
it's good to
Golden
have.
Crust? We have Golden Crust beef patties and chicken patties.
They also
yes.
have a fabulous, they got a wonderful ginger beer. You didn't bring me no beer. What?
They don't have Budweiser.
No,
ginger beer.
Ginger beer.
Non-alcoholic.
Do you Tracy, have representations of the Golden Cross products, sir?
Give her some flat bread and some hard bread.
Okay.
What's a flat bread? I've never had that.
It's the hard dough bread. It's a heavy bread. It's Jamaican.
Oh.
It is from Jamaica.
Now, let me ask you this. Will we have Jamaican blue coffee here?
No, we don't.
Okay. I'm just checking. I like Jamaica. I like food. I like Jamaican coffee. They have good coffee. Just checking.
Yeah, well.
You guys serve breakfast?
Well, we are going to be.
When is that serve breakfast?
Yes, we're going to start the end of the month. We're going to have the breakfast. We're going to probably start like at 7 and go through 10:30 in the morning.
When we come to the grand opening, what should we expect? Because you want people to come between now and then, but what do we expect in the grand opening?
Okay, this is what we have. We're doing my valley deals
okay.
on that day. So what's going to happen, you're getting two entrees for the price of one.
Okay.
So that we have that, and we're going to have a food tasting. So what I'm going to do is just make some different dishes, not what's in the menu, but there would be some other, but there'll be like fried bake, sweet potato fries with ginger and brown sugar.
Ooh.
Yeah, really cool.
Sweet potato fries?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah, sweet potato fries.
And and we also have the Caribbean flavored sodas, you know, soft drinks.
Ginger beer?
Ginger beer,
yeah.
Cream soda,
anyone
cola
that
champagne.
Hasn't had ginger beer will taste that and try that.
If you've never had Caribbean food, you ought to go check them out. They do a wonderful job. Curry goat is like a beef. And you have to know how to cook goat because goat is very very hard to cook. You have to get it flavored, to make the right flavors inside. And their curry goat is very very good. Their rice is very very good. Rice, everyone cooks rice differently. And if you've never had Caribbean food, you would look at their rice as a very, very flavorful, I want to say, jambalaya.
Yeah, yeah.
For those of you who know what that is. And then there, you have your jerk chicken.
Jerk chicken, hot if you wanted buffalo.
You have buffalo chicken?
Mm-hmm.
And then these are not fried. These are pretty much sauteed,
oh, no.
Am I correct?
These are prepped, seasoned. Boiled and baked.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
540, your mic is on.
Yeah, good morning, Tracy. It's Bob from Youngstown.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, you guys are just getting into what I was calling in about. Could you have your guests break down for some of us Anglos a little bit of what the taste and the I guess the overall flavor of what Jamaican is. I was down there once years and years ago, but maybe they could use comparables if they can to, let's say, typical American fare. So those of us that are listening can be tantalized to get out there and give this a try. Especially you mentioned earlier plantain. I'm not familiar. Is that kind of like a banana plant of some sort?
Yes, it is. It's like a giant banana that we slice and you fry it, or you can mash it and make different. You can make fritters, or you can make something called malanga. You know, the thing about it, and again, Caribbean food, I have the closest thing is Louisiana. If you've ever been to Louisiana, that's the kind of most of the flavor. That's the kind of food that you'll be getting.
Okay,
similar
so
to Louisiana.
So it's kind of tangy, a little bit on the tangy side, but not hot.
Well, the thing is, it's your choice. There's some people, and if you're from the Caribbean, like the Jamaicans, if they're coming in to ask for jerk wings, I have to make it hot because some of, and that's what it is. You have to be, it's disgusting, but you have to be sweating.
Now, let me say this. They have made it, because we were talking about this because they
right.
brought me some lunch. And I said, I want a little bit more jerk. And she
right.
said, well, I can't do that unless you ask for a special order
right.
because they try to temper it to where people will be able to eat it if they're not used to spicy food.
Yeah.
That you'll get the flavor,
well,
but you won't get the heat.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense because you don't want to serve something that the average American palate is not familiar with because then people would never come back. But
right.
Just the explanation that they can add to it. My wife and I happen to like going to a specific Chinese restaurant down in Alliance. And the gentleman down there knows that my wife likes a little extra kick in her particular dish that he makes. And so he adds that hot mustard that they use more than anybody else.
And that's what we try to do also. Bob, that's what we do. The thing about it, it's all about the customer. And again, this is what in the Caribbean, it's like home cooking. That's what it is. Because
right,
the food is made from scratch. It is not.
And
it's not
all. Is there a, you know, getting back to the plantain? Do you have a side of your menu that is more towards the sweet side, like this plantain and other dishes that could, if somebody wanted to, have a little extra hot sauce added to them?
Absolutely, we have, and I'm glad you asked that because we have something in the menu. It's called picles. It's a Haitian condiment. It's a blend of cabbage, carrots, green peppers, scotch bonnet, onions, garlic, and again, if you wanted to add, you can add that to anything. You just have to know up front that it's hot. It is hot.
It provides an extra kick and flavor to the food that's already flavored. So
It sounds exciting. Yeah. I will look forward to trying to make it out to see your location. You're again in Austin Town, is that correct?
No, they're actually in Youngstown. They're behind the
we're
Home
Boardman.
Savings building.
Yeah, we're right across from Home Savings, right across from Burger King.
On Midlothian and on Hillman Way.
Around Market
Street. Oh, okay. All right, yeah. There's Popeye's down in that area also.
It's on the opposite side of Popeye's.
So
it's
you
on the
guys
south.
Are in that little strip. You're in the little strip plaza behind where Kingley's Auto Service used to
yes.
be.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
We're right next to the
very, very
the health
familiar
center.
With that location. I kind of
right.
grew up in that area, so I'm very familiar with it. I'll look forward to stopping in and visiting.
Can you do me a favor, Bob?
Sure.
When you come in, just please announce who you are, and we'll have something special waiting for you.
Listen, I'm an older guy. I'm hoping that it's not a young nubial woman in you know, traditional Jamaican garb, because I'll probably have a heart attack.
Come on!
Man.
Hey, Jeff, well, maybe you can join
me.
Listen, on that one, I'm taking a break. I'll be right back.
Jeff, maybe you can join me on that one, huh?
Bianchi, you on the air with us?
Yeah.
Hello.
Did that $900 million plant that was proposed for Ohio, did that ever get off the ground with Chesapeake?
I'm pretty sure that's still in going through the legislative process. I don't think it's gotten off the ground yet. No.
Mm-hmm. Somebody was telling me about a black company that was fracking down there. You don't know their name, do you?
I do not. You know who might know is the one guy in the chat room, that Galactic. I'm sure he can hear me. Do you know? Let's see if he comes by. Why do you ask?
Well, I was, you know, my grandson is studying gas and petroleum. I was looking for some place for him to intern.
You know what? I'll check into it. That'd be a good question for Tracy when she comes back, too. She'd probably know, or Jeff would know.
So what else is going on except the usual?
Nothing, really. I've been kind of hit or miss on this show lately. Been really busy with work, which is good. But other than that, you know, just trying to hold down the insanity.
Well, I tell you what, it was like 5 below this morning.
Yeah, we had 3 below here this morning as well.
I guess it's needed.
Did you have the wind? Did you have the wind like last time?
No, luckily we didn't have the wind.
Yeah, that's insane. I mean, the weather is it's winter and it's cold. Unfortunately, it's funny how I heard nothing but global warming again this past summer, and as soon as it gets cold in the winter, they turn it to climate change, and you know we're seeing Texas with 16 degrees temperatures, so that's interesting.
Well, you know, the Earth have seen these phenomena before with the Pleistocene area and the Holocene area with the ice sheets moving down very close to the equator. So she has the right to do what she's going to do. But, you know, the Earth is going to be swallowed up by the sun. Of course, you and I won't be around. I mean, it's just inevitable that big old ball in the sky is expending its fuel, and as it does so, it swells and swells and swells until it becomes a red giant.
Yeah, that's how our weather is driven, is the sun, and that's one of the reasons right now why we're having these cold temperatures. The sun is right now at its solar maximum, and for some reason, it's not as active as it should be. I think the leftist movement was kind of counting on the sun's solar maximum so they could push their man-made global warming theory, but it kind of blew up in their face.
Yeah, it's a good thing that they can't control the sun now, isn't it?
Well, now, are you sure about that? Because I think in some people's minds that the conservatives in this country can, so.
Yeah, the comtrails and all that stuff.
Did you see the story about the North Star, Pianchi, the Polaris? In the last 10 years, it's grown in intensity and brightness in a decade. I forgot the factor, but it's a phenomenal factor, and scientists can't figure out why. That's a pretty cool story.
Well, it's a star, too, so maybe it's going through the same thing. I'm sure I say it's a sun.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it could be. You know, it's funny how it still kills me how the left will always bring out, that science is fact, and these are what scientists are saying when things happen all the time around the world where scientists can't explain it when they thought they had it nailed down before. So, you know, it's interesting to me that they use that argument.
Well, as the sun expands, increases in circumference, does that mean that we would die sooner, or would our years be longer?
If the sun does what? Say that again.
If the sun expands, as it will do, it is doing. We just, you know, like I said, it's going to take billions of years. So, would that mean that our birthdays would be far apart, or take longer for the Earth to go around then, because it has a longer way to travel, I guess, huh?
That's a good point. Yeah, that's true. Instead of a 365-day year, we'll be like having a Pluto year.
Yeah. Yeah, they just snuffed poor Pluto right out of the picture.
Boy, did they. Talk about screwing my childhood up.
Yeah. Pluto was a character. What was he, a dog?
Yeah, it was a Mickey. No, Pluto was Mickey Mouse's dog.
Mickey Mouse's dog, yeah.
Not to be confused with Goofy.
Right.
Right.
Big flop-eared dog, flop feet.
Damn dog was smarter than Mickey.
When I used to come home from school, I turn on the TV and watch the Mickey Mouse Club with Carla and some more of those young people that was young then.
On Newstalk 600, WSOM.
And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And, you know, Jeff said, play the Three Little Birds. And I just want to know, y'all crazy. Why did they name this song Don't Worry About a Thing or Everything's Gonna Be All Right? He going to name the song a Little Bird, Three Little Birdies. He only says Three Little Birdies twice in the whole song.
This morning with the rising sun, three little birds outside my doorstep. Singing sweet melodies of something, I forgot the word.
You know how many songs
we're
going to get in the when we start legalizing
they
marijuana?
Had more, yeah, but you know what? They had
singing,
more.
They're going to have all kinds of creativity singing.
They had more God lyrics, Christian lyrics, in reggae than ever I've seen anyplace else.
I don't hear people talking about reggae as much as they used to.
No, they
play
don't.
Some Buju Banton. Play some Buju Banton.
Oh. Am I going to go to jail?
No.
Spell Buju.
B-U.
B-U.
J-U.
J-U.
Tell I'm laid to rest.
No, I ain't playing that. Cause we got,
oh, that's
don't
a
you
good,
hear me playing happy
songs
today?
Song. It is a happy song. Play it and see. Our roster minds are happy.
But you don't.
Are you going to come to the restaurant?
He is in St. Louis.
Oh,
people listening all over the country.
Jeez.
They would love, and they talk about me because we come on here and talk about food that they can't get to.
and this one in particular can't get goat down there.
Oh, he having a hard time finding goat.
I found some, but it's a long way. I might come down and get some. Golden Crust chicken patties.
Chicken patties. Come on down.
That sounds like a plan.
You should try those, Tracy. That there is a marvelous dish.
The man
had to go all the way back to Jamaica into the bush to find someone who knew the recipe.
Really?
Yes.
Are they fried pot? What are they?
No, they're patties. They're patties. They're a flaky patty with the cheese and chicken inside. It's the beef. There's beef. There's chicken. Or you can get vegetables.
Veggie. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Let's check that out.
How do you know that?
You're
in St. Louis. Wait. How do you know that?
He came. When he came here, and he was working for the New York Police Department. He started doing other things, and next thing you knew, he started making the patties.
Right.
And he started out small. And he had a company that was supplying the patties. I think he was using like 5,000 patties a week or something like that. Then the company called him up one day and said, well, we can't afford to supply that many. We're going to have to cut you down in half. So he said, that would put us out of business. So he got on a plane, went all the way back down to Jamaica, and went in the forest, deep in the forest, and found this man who knew the recipe. That's a secret recipe for Jamaica. And brought him back up here.
Why don't you come back here and tell everybody and share the profits like everybody else wants us to?
Oh, he does a tremendous business. He's a very beautiful person,
very
too.
Very successful, yes. There are lots of Golden Crest bakery restaurants all over. They're mostly in New York, though.
All down the East Coast. Then he had to go down to Florida and buy the name from a couple that had the name, too. And that went over real well. So that's a success story. All of his family members was working for NYPD,
yep,
quit and came to work for him. And
they do
about $100 million
wow
in business
and
a year.
Yes, they're huge. They're huge.
And it gets me because this is people come from outside of this system, and they take advantage of it, and we sitting inside keep making excuses of why we can't do it.
Yep.
Now, that's the problem.
That's the
huge
problem.
And the truth is, and again, coming from the Caribbean, that's so true. There's one thing that I always say. There is nothing that you can't do in this country once you want to do nothing.
Hold on. What did you say?
There is nothing you can't do in this country.
Wow.
But you're black.
Doesn't matter.
If you put your mind to it.
Doesn't matter. Do you know where No, they don't. I lived in a white community. Do you know where I lived in New York? I lived literally 5 minutes from Bill Clinton in Chappaqua, New York.
How can you tell me that black folks can make it in America?
I don't understand.
They told me they couldn't. They tell me they can't make it.
Tracy.
Huh?
Little bit of a background. Lived in New York. Moved to Arizona. Owned condos, three-family buildings. It is possible. It is possible. Very, very possible.
You hear that, Jess?
My youngest daughter,
what?
Had a full scholarship to University of Illinois, $144,000 for a bachelor degree in pre-vet.
Why should we believe her?
I don't know.
That's true. Because my people here tell me I can't do it.
They tell me why we can't
do
it.
We can't
do
it.
The white man got his foot on my neck.
No, yeah. Josh's daughter, what is she studying?
Well, she's a psychologist. She's about to
pull your mic in.
She's about to graduate graduate program last year, and she's doing her internship at two schools in Westchester County, New York.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
24 years old.
And you made, but remember, what?
Out in Hempstead, Westchester County?
No, Westchester County is north of New York City.
North of
Hempstead is Long Island.
So there's nothing that you cannot do if you put your mind to it and put the hard work in America.
No, nothing.
Up to a neural show.
Yep.
Yes.
Is that what you're telling me?
That's where I'm from.
My second son, he's 32. He has been working for Bloomingdale's for 14 years.
And Bloomingdale's is what?
He is a managing director with Bloomingdale's.
Oh, my God. And he's black.
And he is black.
White man, put his foot on his neck.
When he started, what was he doing when he started?
He started in sales.
Woo! And worked his way up?
Worked his way up.
But he went to work every day.
Went to work every day.
He pulled his pants up.
Yeah.
And you made sure.
Oh, my God. He's metrosexual. Hello. Excuse me. No.
He pulled his pants up.
Yep.
He goes to work every day.
Yep.
He does what he's supposed to do, and he learned all he could.
Yeah.
And he grew.
And he grew.
Y'all ain't even bright people.
Well, the thing that I think most of the blacks in all areas needs to realize is that you are in competition with blacks, with whites, with everybody. And you have to make sure that you step it up,
not just in sports,
in every aspect of life. Education's number one.
Yep. Education.
Because I'm so proud of the guy who yelled at the little reporter who plays ball for the Seahawks.
Yeah.
When I look at his resume, I'm so proud of him.
Oh, that's more bad.
He might have had a mad time when he yelled at the little reporter because of his
aggression. He didn't yell at her.
What happened? He was in it's emotion at the time. But the thing they didn't know about him is that they really prejudged him.
Yeah,
didn't know about his background.
Right.
what he was about, you know, 3.90 GPA is not a joke.
No.
And playing football at the same time.
Stanford? Come on.
Come on. And it's not a football school. Exactly. I'm just saying, we need to learn some stuff.
No. And that, you know, it's the thing that I coming from the Caribbean, again, the Caribbean, it's based in education. And it's one of the things, one of the reasons why I came up here, so that my children can get ahead.
That's why my hero, one of my heroes is Dr. Miles Monroe.
Absolutely.
Dr. Turnell Nelson.
And they preach education.
They
right?
preach education because Miles has about 5 or 6 degrees,
right.
plus a bunch of honorary.
Right.
And they pay him from Fortune 500 to 100 companies in Europe to come and teach them principles of success.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Now, does that make this is what we strive here every day. And that's why we want you guys to make sure you go out to Flambeau's Caribbean Takeout, 3920 Hillman Way, Youngstown, Ohio. The telephone number is 330-782-6900. We want to make sure you make that contact so that you can go in there and put a hand to these people with a great effort that they're doing with a great product. The only Caribbean restaurant where?
In the Valley of Ohio.
As a matter of fact, I've never seen a Caribbean restaurant here. Have you?
Yes, years ago.
How long?
About 15, 20 years ago, up on the north side.
They had a chain of Caribbean restaurants, and I forgot what it was called. It was one of my favorite restaurants, too. And it only lasted about a year. And they had a 2 or 3 of them here in northeast Ohio, and I don't know why they didn't last all that long.
They didn't come to Youngstown, and they probably didn't serve plantains because I'd have been there. 8440, your mic is on.
Yeah, I go to a Nigerian restaurant that has curry goat, and I'm going to go down to this restaurant. And thank you for bringing this guest on. Very, very good. Now, that's what I like to listen to this. This is what I enjoy hearing. Very well-spoken people.
Thank you for your comments. Thank you.
Get after it. They really get after it.
You have no idea. They hustle. I am so impressed. They hustle. They work.
Yep.
They work hard.
Thank you for bringing those guests on. Thank you
very
much.
I'll do my best to bring them back if they'll come back and bring me some more food. Because Jeff shows up with food and won't feed me. He won't even offer me, say, you know, Tracy, do you want some?
Oh, here we go.
No, he buys stuff he knows I don't eat.
That's right, because you don't do eggs.
At all.
There's something wrong with you.
Might be, but I'm not touching
it. Hey, where's all facts?
What'd you say?
With all facts.
All facts?
Yeah.
What's that?
The guy that be saying, factually.
Oh. Factually.
Hey, listen, we're almost at the end of the day. I want to thank Sandy and Josh for coming in there from Flambeau. And Flambeau is a Caribbean takeout. It's located over on Hillman Way. If you're going up Market Street, coming from downtown, it's going to be heading south on the right-hand side behind Home Savings and Loan, and behind Burger King.
Uh-huh.
And if you're going to be heading north and you're going to be going towards downtown, it's going to be over to the left-hand side. And it's still going to be behind Burger King and Martin Luther King. And
right behind one of our other sponsors, Kingley's Car Wash.
Kingley's still over there.
Yeah.
Kingley's on South Avenue.
I bet he's over there, too.
He's downtown and on South.
Oh,
he moved.
Wow.
Yeah,
Kingley moved.
He's just moving his places.
Julia's growing up, moving out.
Yeah.
But they're there, and they're open. What are your hours?
We're open from 11 to 7, Monday to Thursday, Friday and Saturday, till around 9. Give us a call. Once we answer the phone, we'll wait on you.
And what time? What's the phone number if I want to call and place an order?
330-782-6900.
And what are your Saturday and Sunday hours?
My Saturday hours are from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., so 9-ish. Like I said, just give us a call. We're there until probably about 9. On Sundays, we're going to be open probably from about 11 to 5.
And they were actually there during the storm. It was a storm going on, and snow was blowing everywhere, and everybody else was closed, and then I went in, and they was there. I was like, wow. I said, what's up? You closing early? She said, no, we're going to stay here until we get done. I'm like, okay. I'm going home. Listen, I want to thank you. They brought me in some jerk chicken. They have curry goat. They have barbecue chicken. They have baked chicken, fried chicken, stewed oxtail. Oxtail is beef.
Yeah. Oxtail is so good.
It's very tender beef.
Yeah, very tender.
They have
very
fried fish, which is white, and you have a white fish.
Yeah.
They have jerk short ribs, which I've never had, and they have jerk ribs and chicken combo. I haven't had that either. They have beans and rice, and like I said, the beans and rice, if you are of Latino descent, it would be like your paella.
Yep, very similar.
Uh-huh. Or if you are of Mexican descent, it would be like your rice.
Yeah,
would you say?
Mexican rice.
And
yeah.
If you are from Louisiana, I'm going to be like your jambalaya.
Attention taxpayers.
Goodness, jeez.
And if you're from London, it's like peas and rice.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
They have mashed sweet potatoes, which is, no, is that sweet?
Yeah.
With the nuts on top?
No.
Okay.
For Thanksgiving, I can do that.
Okay.
But regularly, no.
Okay, they have mashed sweet potatoes. They have french fries, sweet potato fries. Steamed cabbage, green beans, and spicy beans. They have a combo platter. They have mozzarella sticks. They have plantain fritters. Go by, say hi. Tell me you heard it on Tracy and Friends. And don't forget the grand opening is going to be on the...
February 18th at 11 a.m. Come on down.
Amen. Yeah, man.
Don't worry. And you guys are going to be open for breakfast?
Yes, we will be open for breakfast from the end of the month.
At the end of the month, they'll be open for breakfast, and they have breakfast food. They have grits and croissants and muffins and oatmeal and juice and coffee. We're going to get them some can we get Jamaican coffee in?
Sure.
Okay.
That's
and
grits and fish.
Yeah. Grits and fish.
Grits and fish.
I've been getting into this grits and shrimp thing.
Grits and shrimp is good. Grits and fish is good.
You posted that on your Facebook once, Tracy. I don't know. I love seafood. I don't know if I can handle it in the morning. I just don't.
Oh, it's good. It's rich. It's rich, but it's good.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. I didn't think I could handle grits for dinner. I thought that was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen, and I went out to a restaurant and had grits.
Oh, yeah.
And wow, were they good. It was worth it.
Yeah, it's nothing but corn.
Just, you see that? You pick up the bad habits. Look at that. Please, old man. Don't feel bad. Don't go ahead, because Jeff does it all the time. That's all right.
Jeff is a connoisseur.
A connoisseur of what?
Connoisseur.
That's what I said. Connoisseur of what?
Connoisseur.
That's what I said. Connoisseur.
Connoisseur
what?
Of good things. Of good things.
Jeff is a connoisseur of something.
I like good things.
Listen, I want to thank you guys for coming in and hanging out with me for the last hour of my show and bringing me my lunch. I've been eating from Flambeau's restaurant. They delivered food to me. I had curry goat, had jerk chicken, and I had plantains, and I had rice. Very, very good lunch. I want to thank you guys again.
You're welcome.
And please stop down. The address, again, is 3920 Hillman Way. You've been listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We'll be back here on Monday for open mic. Jeff and I and Sticks will be here. Hopefully my cold will be gone and I will be ready. And we'll see you then. God bless you and have a good day.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Happiness is the truth, because I'm the happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you, because I'm the happy. Clap along if you.
Russia is welcoming the world to Sochi.
Is anyone following the Jordan David, the Michael Dunn trial?
Hello.
I'm not Diva. What's I'm not even sure what that is.
Okay.
What up, Diva?
Michael Dunn is on trial for first degree murder of Jordan Davis. They got into an argument over Jordan Davis and his friends playing loud rap music in the parking lot of a gas station. Michael Dunn shot and killed Jordan Davis while Jordan Davis was sitting in his vehicle. And so the trial is going on right now.
What's going on?
Yes, it is a black man. I mean, a white man with a black boy. But race is not an issue in this trial. It's just it's simply put, you had an armed man shooting and killing an armed man. Another unarmed person.
Well, we just had that in that movie theater too. The ex-cop, you remember that?
Yeah, I'm following that trial too. So when that comes up, I'll be watching that. It's just so sad that people. I can only imagine if I'm arguing with someone and I don't have a weapon, I'm going to be a little bit more selective of who I'm arguing with, or what's going to happen. It seemed like guns are emboldening people to get in these confrontations, and then when they get in these confrontations or start these confrontations, then it's, I fear for my life, so I had to shoot and kill that person.
What about the police, though? The police does it all the time, and they don't say nothing to the police.
You don't think race was the issue in that case?
In the Michael Dunn case?
Yeah.
No.
No. Well, why not? What up, all facts?
I think discrimination was a factor. I don't think race was. I don't think racism was. I don't see Michael Dunn as a racist.
No. When you specify discrimination, you must specify what type of discrimination. Do you discriminate on disability?
Discrimination against
race,
the culture. Against the culture.
Sexual, gender. Okay, so what? Well, culture, ethnicity, the same thing. They're similar.
No. Because rap has its own culture. Plus, they were young, and older people tend to discriminate against younger people.
Oh yeah.
Regardless of color, older people tend to discriminate against people.
Older people
are like
house slaves, and like the young. I guess they picture the younger people as like field slaves.
So I mean, I do think that he discriminated.
You know what I'm saying is, right. When you just say discriminated, you have to, like I said,
well,
you have to
be. Well, I think he would have done that if it was a white youth. Yes, I do.
Really? Playing country music?
Yes. When not if it was loud at that decibel, yeah.
Nah, if it was rock, yeah. Not if it was country. If it was rock, yeah. Oh, like dumbass rockers. You know,
No. I'm saying it may have been loud, but if it was the type of music that he may have was interested in, his type of genre of music, he may have liked that.
His background in researching I don't think it was
the type
of music.
You can't really say that, all facts. Because you don't really
don't
know.
Well,
I'm not saying that. I wasn't there, but I'm just saying I would be more angry that if someone's playing loud opera music that I don't like versus someone playing loud music that I do like, whether I think
so
it's inappropriate.
When you step outside your house,
my reactions may be different. That's all I'm saying. I'm just speaking hypothetical.
I'm speaking for yourself. About music of any genre that's disturbing the piece, I would be upset with.
What's the piece, though? Disturbing what piece?
It depends on what
come
the...
Come on,
right,
now.
Well.
I mean, I'm not saying that Michael Dunn was right, but come on, y'all. I mean, come on. Loud music can be very, very irritating in small spaces. Loud music can be very irritating.
Like
unless you know you're at a party
like
or something.
Loud music playing.
That's
come on,
different. But just playing loud music for no purpose, just for your simple enjoyment, and it can be irritating.
So you're
going
to get to the point pick up.
Well, in the
I'm gonna ask you, what would you do? If you were at a gas station and you're in a public place at a gas station and you're going to pay, you know, get your gas, and you hear someone playing the loud, would you tell them to turn that music off, or would you just, you know?
No, I wouldn't say anything.
I wouldn't say anything
to them. I
just hop in my car
to them because they have the right to play their music.
Diva's not advocating for the shooting at all.
Well, no, I'm not saying advocating the shooting. I'm just talking about the joke because, see, I see at the end of the day, when we talk about these things, we have to talk about the mental process, how we avoid conflict, because we're talking about the interaction and the social interaction between two people. And
right,
I think
but what I'm trying to say,
a lot of these guys
I'm not saying
okay.
When something
okay.
For everybody to sleep is that
one at a time.
I don't believe that Michael Dunn pulled out his gun because he hated Jordan Davis because he was black and playing rap music. I think he's just an angry, bitter old man who felt like these young boys should have listened to what he had to say because they didn't.
You don't think that's something wrong with you if you're an old, bitter man, though? And you're trying to, like,
I didn't say that wasn't. All I'm stating is I don't think this is a case
so
of this man,
like all facts said,
Jordan
you,
Davis,
you
and saying,
have
look, I'm going to shoot and kill you because you're black.
If you're going to get mad and get enraged by somebody playing loud music,
dude,
to the point
not,
of killing him.
Right, but, dude, listen, what she's saying is the people that are playing the loud music are introducing an atmosphere that doesn't need to be there, and it's becoming more and more prevalent and
who
causing
cares,
more
bro? Say
like,
who? You know what? You know what? Hold on. You know what? If it was a black man killed another black man or a white man, I think some of you guys were saying his mother raised him. Now, you see how you doing? You put a, he had no intention of doing it. Bottom line, listen where y'all going at. And happy right, child. Right, yeah, right, on, right.
You're,
I do believe that. I do believe that. All
right.
You're going at, you're giving him the
son was
of
in the right
when
he.
You're
I'm not
him
saying
the
that.
Oh, oh. The white man.
I am
it's
looking
right,
at all
yeah,
aspects,
and I can see it sliding down the path. That's
wow.
Why.
If
it's a black guy, yeah, if it was a black, he'll say he's an animal and a thug. But if it's like a white guy, they'll
never,
like,
hold
kind
on.
Of find like a waiter.
Hold on. I never said those words. First, I am
no,
African American.
No, we're not talking about you. I'm talking about
and
like,
I'm young, and I've across a lot of Jordan Davis. I've dealt with Jordan Davises. And I also know people like Michael Dunn.
I'm not talking about you, Diva, but I'm talking about the notion.
I also know
people
like Michael Dunn who don't have a racist bone in their body. But they do feel like they are above other people, and people need to show them due deference. That's all I'm saying, that this case is not a case of racism. I don't believe Michael Dunn shot and killed Jordan Davis because he's a racist. That's simply all I was saying.
But
I didn't
overall,
say...
I'm not saying he's that dude, but when you said above other people racist, factually, they think they're above other people. That's all
no,
I wanted
you
to say.
Are,
I'm not saying he's
no.
doing it, but, you know.
Listen, that, take Jeff Green, for example. Jeff Green talks to me and deals with me differently, I believe, one, not because I'm black, but because I'm young and I'm a female. Some people have a way, different way of approaching people based on other factors other than race. It's not always about race.
Okay, but why are you guys so pro-law?
Okay,
like, everything's wrong.
Don't
oh, it's disturbing.
I can't understand
agent.
Either. Who
facts,
is the other?
This is what I'm saying, all facts. Why are you guys so pro law? Like the law is the end of it. Like, oh, you can't play music because it's disturbing the people.
You,
oh, you can't sell drugs because you're a criminal. What's wrong with selling drugs and being on the block selling drugs?
This is not. You can have a society where there aren't any rules or laws.
Tell me what's wrong with selling drugs on the block. What's wrong with that? Tell me right now.
Because those drugs. Have you ever lived in a community where those drugs are rampant? Where those people, they destroy families, they destroy lives, they destroy communities. That's why you can't stand on the spot.
Okay, but who brings in the drugs,
though?
The CIA brings in the drugs.
It don't matter who brought them in. The fact of the matter is they're illegal, and they shouldn't be allowed to be illegal because they destroy communities.
Ain't no church in the wild. That's one thing.
What?
Ain't no, there isn't no church in the wild, man. You get what I'm saying?
No.
No.
No, I don't know what
that means. I said there's no church in the wild.
No,
if
I understand
here,
what you're saying.
Hey, sir, if they put you in the same situation right now on the same block that these kids are at and they're I'm at, you're going to find a way to survive. You're not. I'm telling you right now. You're not gonna just be like, oh yeah, you know, and try to like live with all these same morals and same same ways of view that you have right now. You're gonna start drugs on the block too.
Morals.
You're like an anarchist.
These young boys selling these drugs. They want that fast life. They want the riches and the glory, the fame of these in the hoods, but they don't want to work for it. They feel like that's easier.
That's not true. You can't say that. You can't say that at all.
Yes, I can say that.
So you think selling drugs is easy?
I can't say that. Because every drug dealer that I know is...
So you think selling drugs is easy?
That's why they're doing it.
Hold on. Well, first of all, listen. Even though me and you may disagree with their work and what they do, it is work. Now, even though it's, you know, it's chaos, but you can't say that, though. Now,
ain't work. That's like me walking to my mailbox. Okay, physically, my body is
working. It is working. Selling drugs.
I am exerting my body. That is not work.
I understand. Some people take the wrong risk. Part of being a business owner, you have to be a risk taker. But in our community, we just take the wrong risk. We are risk takers.
Wrong risk is picking the wrong stock. Investing, making a bet.
Okay, so it's okay for the CIA to take
those risks. Selling drugs is not a wrong risk.
But these kids are animals because they're out here selling weed.
No one is advocating it.
No, why are you trying to make excuses for it?
Hold on. Listen, you have to know, when someone is stating a fact, that doesn't mean I'm making an excuse. I'm just giving factual information. I said, in our community, we are risk takers because going out there getting locked up and throwing bricks to the jail saying, come and lock me up and destroying your life, you're taking a hell of a risk, even a stupid risk. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you're taking a risk. You're putting it in a comparison of a... And that's not the same.
All facts.
That's not the same.
You're saying
somewhere else, when you have people on Blog Talk Radio saying we shouldn't pay taxes, don't tell nobody in the city like that because they say, I'm not going to go work for a quote-unquote pay taxes and get a regular job. So I'm saying, so people have to watch what they say. What I'm saying is that we have to channel our energy in another way. We had it, but it has
okay,
to go on another way.
Okay, what happened
saying.
When what
I'm
happened with those guys?
No
they were just
drugs,
talking about
right?
that. Oh, God. Hey, All Facts.
Go ahead, dude.
Look, I want to make 2 points, All Facts. They were just talking about that earlier when these guys were trying to channel, you know, that mind state for some, that risk-taking mind state for some positive. What happened to them? They all got false charges and got incriminated. Now, here's my second point. Do you think for a minute if you turn things around and you got these CEOs and politicians in the same situations as these kids on the block, do you think that these politicians and CEOs, you don't think they'd be out here committing murders too, trying to get back to the top?
I have a question.
They are committing murders.
You don't think Irv Gotti started Murder, Inc. using drug money? You don't think Suge Knight started Death Row Records using drug money?
You don't think the politicians?
Did or not?
You don't think the politicians are committing murders because of drug money?
Sometimes, depending on the statute of limitations, you guys are acting like they were completely innocent in this structure. They were not.
Nobody is innocent, though. Nobody is.
They were not. No, you guys said that they were innocent.
They
were not.
The mafia in New York. In New York, how much the mob right now and running, and there's so much mob and drug money. So I understand that.
Just because one factor gets away with it, we should make excuses for the ones who get caught. Should get away with it too. It doesn't work like that.
If these people want drugs, if people want to put any of the drugs, you shouldn't get locked up for selling drugs. What's wrong with that? You shouldn't get locked up for selling drugs.
I'm not talking about like this guy's talking about. I never said that. Get it straight. I never said that. I'm not making excuses.
Look at All Facts. He's trying to fit in society.
No, you replayed back. I said never the activity.
No, I'm sorry. All blacks don't sound alike. You two sound completely different. I know Maryland's black. Maryland definitely sounds black. But you, sir, are kind of a little iffy. Matt sounds white. I know I tend to sound white, even though I'm black.
Why are you a liberal, though, Diva? Why are you a liberal?
Because I'm a liberal. That's where I choose.
What's up with all these little titles that people get? Like, I'm a Democrat.
You don't have a problem with titles. You have a problem with titles. I don't have a problem with titles. So it's not up for debate.
No, I'm just wondering.
David, you sound black, David. You sound like a black female. I just want to let you know.
Factually.
Well, okay, whatever. It's just the strangest argument.
Hey, look at Matt.
Right, isn't it
what
Matt?
Up, Matt?
out of nowhere, the question, Diva, why are you a liberal? Where did that come from? Out of
what's wrong with,
oh,
now you got to like structure your questions in order to like feel like
no, it's
be
just,
normal.
It was very random.
It was.
It was very random.
Broad
it was just out of nowhere.
I'm
I mean, we jumped from the Jordan
these
Davis.
Titles, man. I don't like these titles. Like, I can never like.
If
say,
you don't
oh,
like titles, that's fine. So you can consider yourself a non-titled person,
but,
and you don't have to.
Yeah,
use
let
them.
Me tell you why though. I can never just say, "Oh, I'm a conservative." Because I agree with a few of the viewpoints of it. You get what I'm saying? I'm just for freedom and for
okay,
what
that's
freedom.
You. That's you.
Right.
That's you.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
But you don't
and
think that you've been brainwashed to believe that you need that title on? Like,
it's
I
not,
don't need the
you
title.
Know
I just
about.
Choose to take on the title. I like titles. I like
but
titles.
You know
I like structure.
I
like rules. I like regulation. I like ordinances. I like structured environments. So that's just me. So
you
I don't
have
a problem
have
with titles.
There's certain titles that you have to have because otherwise, when you ask somebody what they believe, they don't have to go on for 6 hours to explain it. And they go, oh, okay. You just go, I'm liberal.
Oh, no. What's
nah,
it?
Nah.
This is
that's
problem.
Not how that's
why
not
it is.
Look at all facts.
This is why, listen. When a Democrat goes against a Democrat, it demeans what a Democrat is. It's funny to me. That's like the Miami Heat going against the Miami Heat.
That's
I'm
not what
saying
a Democrat is. You're wrong. A Democrat is a home for liberal minded people. Just like
are you serious?
It's supposed
on.
To be a home for conservative minded.
I thought being liberal was about being free, though.
And then what's liberal then, sir?
Democracy is not freedom, sir. You know that, right?
Open
how is democracy
other
freedom,
things?
Though? What
you guys, what your problem is, or do you even have a problem, or just throwing out conversation? Because I'm confused.
Yeah, I am.
No, I'm just saying, how is democracy freedom?
No. I don't have a problem.
That's
I agree
fine.
With what he's saying. Me personally, they need to change my registration just as a voter. That's why I need to be. They have me as an unaffiliated independent. I'm technically not affiliated with no party, even the independent party.
You're
they
right.
should change it as a voter. Right. So you can't call me a conservative, liberal. I've looked at things.
Well, but the fact is, the reason why they do that is so that each political party
well, I'm not in
the
box, but
how many... Okay, but the reason why they have that on there is so that each political party can have a ideal of how many people associate with them. It's purely for statistics.
That's the problem, Diva.
Yeah,
that's
the problem. That's what I was just going to say right
now. Because they so what they do, they try to pre-tally up something, pre-gate it so they give their look. Like, for instance, they don't come to
their
Maryland,
agenda.
A Democratic state. Listen, it's going on party lines. And what I'm saying is, I understand what you're saying, but it gets confusing to me when someone says, I'm more or less government, and then they say, I don't want this guy to be president of the United States, and then when you lose him in the primaries, you say, oh, I want this guy to be president of the United States. Come on. You just talk
there
to
is,
about it. Like
there is no conservative or liberal party. There is a Republican and a Democrat party. So I'm talking about titles as far as what you believe. Now, let me give you a quick example, and Diva knows this as well.
That's a
politically, I lean conservative. Socially, I have a few liberal ideas. I don't have a problem with gay marriage, okay? But if you look at me in general and you were to ask me, which way do you lean? I will say I lean conservatively. That
no,
way I
sir.
Don't
okay.
have to explain every little freaking thing
okay,
that I believe
then,
in.
And then guess what? Okay, and this is, okay, look. And then you say you lean more conservatively, and then I'll give you my list, and I'll ask you, what is the list of your conservatism? You'll give me that, and then I'll ask another person. Give me that, and it can be totally different than you. So you and that conservative will still be battling and fighting over something.
Well, conservatives generally have a... A like-minded mindset,
worldview,
the same as liberals, and the same as independent.
Yeah, because you guys have been brainwashed to believe in a certain structure. You know?
No. It's like
dude, sometimes I feel like you are in a movie of a Matrix. So,
am I white?
What you mean?
I mean,
you
sometimes
it
comes out
matrix,
your
though.
Mouth. It makes me a little nervous sometimes.
Am I?
You are living in a matrix, whether you want to believe it or not. Whenever you gotta just
yes.
Whenever you gotta be plugged into a system like this system, which seems like the Matrix. In reality, you are living in the Matrix, whether you want it or not, whether you want to admit it or not.
Listen, why can't somebody just run on that name and says, listen, I, such and such person, I am fighting for this, I am fighting for that, and you vote for them. Why
well, I
have
what this
be?
Is about.
Why
did,
because they don't want people to be open.
They don't gain enough
that title,
power. That's
when
you guys are having a problem with.
Yourself, you're going
like
to put
you
yourself in a box.
In power.
You're going to put yourself in a box when you
but
put yourself in a
what you're trying to do
title.
Is beat up on the other guy. And say you're wrong, and this, you're this and that, because your guy, your people who think like you don't have any power in our structure. That's what the
well,
that's
no,
what
no, 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 no. But see that structure. But see that structure also. You see, David, you already know it's going to be pros and cons to every structure. That's a fact. And you may be locking people out. And what I'm saying, if you run people on their name instead of a party, they'll start talking about more issues because they're going to say, hold up. Instead of looking at this state and they got 80% Democrat, well, I know I'm going to talk, but if they have at least half percent of their electorate is unaffiliated independents, and I already know what party they're
really
in,
just running
I'm going to have to go on
the your name,
and I'm going to have to talk about issues.
If you believe it, how you want
I'm going to have to ask them.
I got a question for Diva. Hey, Diva, but would you agree, though, that the elections are rigged?
I wouldn't say the elections are rigged. I would say
I don't believe that.
The elections are
rigged, no. Oh, God, come on. You got to be so... How many years you got living in this country and you still can't realize that? Wow.
Dude, you live in a bubble most of the time, so...
I live in a bubble.
Sorry to say, the way you think,
you're the
and
one
I
inside
the
conservative, your liberal bubble. So I'm supposed to be stuck
in
a bubble because I got to
overturn. I'll live in my liberal bubble. I don't have a problem with that, and I don't have a problem with you living in your little whatever unicorns and rainbows.
Hey, I
bubble.
Live in the real world, though. I live in the real world.
No, you
world.
Don't, because the real
I see
world
it for
is
what it is.
We make
I,
it.
Hey, I see,
the real world
I
is
see.
What we make it, not what you want it to be designed to
oh,
be.
Oh, what you make it? Now you're a part of the system. You feel you
it's
got
the,
some type
it's,
of power
it's
in the system.
It's what the masses
because...
make it. So when it comes to politics, whoever has the most votes, whoever has the most people...
The masses are brainwashed to believe that they have a choice by, you know, since,
all right,
when,
okay.
Since they started going to school. They don't even know. They
so
don't even know the concept of real
freedom. We have these... outer beings pulling our strings like puppets. We have no choice in the matter.
Bro, these people are on a way higher level than you could imagine. They've been playing you guys for fools the whole entire time.
Are they aliens?
Come on, bro. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. I'm just saying
are they
that.
Aliens? Because, you know, it's funny how people will... Listen, you got to understand that all structures of any kind, whether it's international or national, are made up of human beings. They're flawed. They're not as perfect as people think. And if they do have positions of power, they're going to be found out eventually.
Okay.
These are humans, sir.
I'm going to ask you something. Is it American to force somebody, a human being that's under this country, to force them to label themselves and be a part of a party to vote in any type of political system,
there is
sir?
No
is that
law
American?
That says you have to be a part of a political party.
Well, why do
so
they lock
no...
us out of the primary? And I'm letting you know, I think that we should have a neutral vote in the primaries. I say you cannot lock no voter out. No, it should be neutral. I say, look, let's have a balance. You can have your parties, right? But you still should have a neutral vote because guess what? Maybe as an American, I want to see two candidates go head to head.
If
and
I'm
see
not
who, mistaken, and who go out of
do
it.
We not
so
have
why can I have a neutral vote? Why can't I have a neutral vote? A vote.
So, well, you're upset. So are you upset the structure or are you upset at the voters?
I'm upset with the structure. No, I'm
one
upset with the structure.
Or the
listen,
other.
This is my bottom line. David, this is my whole point. You should never, and I'll say again, force someone to be a part of a political party to vote in any type of voting process.
There's
in
no
this
force,
America.
Diva. Let me ask you
yes,
a question. How long before in the primaries do you have to, if you want to vote in the primaries, how long do you have before to register as a Republican or a Democrat? Do you know?
Why do I have to register?
You can register when
I should not have to.
I think you can register when you go to vote. You affiliate yourself when you register to vote.
Okay,
my voting card says non-affiliated.
When you vote in the primary, which I believe you whatever you register for is what you vote for in the primary. So you have up until that day to go ahead and register. So I don't see anybody roped into any political. I could change.
Yeah, I don't see any laws stating you have to pick a political party.
Yes, you do. In Maryland here, I'm an unaffiliated independent, and I'm letting you know, since I am not a part of a party, I cannot vote in the primary. Factually, I can't do it.
Well, that's not the case in Ohio.
And I'm saying, why can I have a neutral vote?
That's in Maryland, then. That sucks. Then y'all need to do something, because here in Ohio...
Well, that's in Alaska. Well, I think you need to...
Maryland's done that because of certain political leanings in Maryland. Maryland is an extraordinarily politically leaning state. As a matter of fact, how Maryland goes, so goes Washington.
No, how Ohio goes, you guys are the, what they call the swing
state. Ohio goes, so goes the rest of the nation.
And Ohio is very important because there's about a lot of politics and a lot of business. First-time businesses start in Ohio. Y'all are the testing ground.
So goes Washington. Maryland is always the first on the floor. Maryland is always the first to write legislation. Maryland is always the first go-to state all the time for the Democrat Party. Always. Why? Because
it's a Democrat. Which hurts us, though, because, see, Obama didn't really campaign to Maryland. See, every state needs to be a swing state. Oh, no, the only thing I'm saying is if we just get half of the people in the electorate to become unaffiliated, it'll shake up the system because the politicians will say, hold up, this 50%, I don't know what their minds are. I need to go ask them or I need to go meet with them or they're going to have to tell me what they want. That's all. Because, when you're doing party lines, they automatically tally up the vote. We need it to be a guessing game for them at that election time. So there'll be more harm.
It will never be that way. It will never be that way. Why? Because you have, it will never be that way. Why? Because you have someone like me who will never vote for a Republican. Why? Because I don't subscribe to how they feel government should be ran. And then you have someone on the opposite side who is a Republican who will probably never vote for a Democrat. Why? Because they don't feel that they can subscribe to how that Republican wants the country to be ran, how the government to be ran.
I'm talking about the psychology of it. Sometimes when people wear this label, I'm a Democrat, I'm a conservative, it keeps them in the box. And I notice sometimes on issues, you notice they want to turn another way, but they say, hold up, I can't say that because I'm a part of this party and I might offend my friends. See, if you don't have that, you can have a little bit of freedom. I'm not saying nobody's not going to influence you, but I'm saying if you have that banner and you have that Democrat, I'm telling you to keep you in the box. And I'm not going to let it do it no more. You know, so that's all I was saying.
You guys sound like you guys can't even agree on the issue.
Well, a lot of people like to be too much tradition. You know, never go back to where it was.
Even if we do have the two-party system like we have right now, we're still. The way this country is right now, we're still going to have the problem of people running for office, lying to us, and then getting in office.
Well, you don't know that. What about the deficit? What about that?
Could you be a little specific?
Hello? Well, don't they say that pretty soon they're going to have to raise the deficit?
The debt ceiling, not the deficit. I'm saying they're lying to us, my friend. They're lying to us. And just because you get out of a two-party system does not mean that people are going to stop lying to us. They're going to find a way.
Rigged, but you just don't want to say it because you think these people are going to look at you like you're weird.
No, that's not going to get them to stop lying to
Diva,
us. I'm looking at the pre-calculations.
I'm just saying, like, just come out straight up and be like, yeah, it's
so
why can't
y'all
just say that?
I gotta go, guys. I'll talk to you later, Diva. Good luck.
See you, Matt.
It's good luck if you're sticking on the line.
Hey, Matt.
What's up?
I'm asking you a question. Is the system rigged? Yes or no?
I think it's rigged in certain areas. Yes.
Are the elections rigged?
Which elections are you talking about? Presidential? You talking about state elections? All of them? What?
Presidential.
Presidential
no.
elections.
No.
Yes.
I would think that that would be brought to the fore. If you notice, all of any rigging stories, whether it's a Democrat winning and Republican saying it was rigged, or Republican winning and Democrat saying it was rigged, those rigging stories only last for about 2 months, maybe.
Exactly. And listen,
if it was more of an issue, the media, right or left, would be all over it for the entire time, and they usually.
Thank you, sir. You said wonderful. And see, when you go, well, see, I'm tired of this. People be going around there and say, look, it's 0.008% of voter fraud. And I'm letting you know, when people go around here and saying the voter system is rigged, you're trying to demean people. And when they hear that, they don't want to vote. And for my community, they don't need to hear that. And what I'm saying is, no one is intentionally, they think some people are intentionally saying,
okay,
oh,
so you guys,
Romney got 51% and Obama got 49%. But look, someone in the background, some you know, string players are going around and they switch it over and they give Obama 51. Romney said, come on, man, nah, bro. I worked the polls. I've been there. It ain't nothing like that. You gotta go computer. You gotta go on manual. Plus the manual gotta go to the computer. Plus you send that stuff down, bro. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, that's a conspiracy that I really don't like because it stunts people's growth in it, and when they hear that, they don't want to be political. I ain't voting because it really don't count.
Yeah, but
that fucks up shit, man.
Hey, all facts. What I'm trying to say is that all this political game hasn't went no far for the people for so many years. Don't you think that they should look for an external option other than that? Well, listen.
If this system collapses, you're still going to have to try to find a way to have a consensus of the people.
Yeah, but
so
you
gonna have to try
the same politicians in charge. You got the same people in Congress that's been there for years. You ain't got no new.
But you still gonna have to have a voting system, though, if regardless. But you have to vote them out.
What's your solution, sir? If you're just saying the voting, do you have a solution?
I'm not bringing
or
out
just...
solutions. I'm pointing out problems.
Listen, sir, I always challenge them on that, and guess what? I asked them the same thing that you just said, and they shut up. You know why? Because I said,
I'm 22. I don't got all the answers in the world.
No. But you're still going to have to get a consensus of the people, and you're still going to have to vote. That's the bottom line. You can't move from that.
Okay, look.
You're going to have to poll. You want to get a consensus. You can't move from it.
I'll tell you this. It would be very, very dangerous in this country for them to rig elections, because if they did that, you would see an uprising in this country by the citizens,
man,
of a proportion.
It'd be the first revolution,
have,
sir.
Once the people realize that they don't have a voice at all, it's over.
It'd be the French Revolution, sir. What do you think? You think it'd be worse than the French Revolution?
I agree. No, I totally agree.
And what about all the false flags, though? So you're not going to say that Sandy Hook wasn't a false flag? And the Boston bombings?
Sure.
Come on, yo. Stop this, man. This
if you can't
crazy.
Say that, if you can't agree to that, then you got to be pretty naive.
Yeah. 40 years I've been. How old, all facts, how old are you?
I'm almost 40. Almost 40.
Okay, well, we're the same age then. And I guess we're naive. So, I mean, you.
I've been coming
all
entrepreneur.
Facts, all facts,
I've been coming entrepreneur.
We'll argue on certain specifics, but when it comes to something like, you know, something that big. The Boston bombing, dude, I don't know. My daughter was on that kick for a while and then found out that everything that she was sold was a bunch of crap.
Exactly. They read these inner tube, yo. They read these inner tubes.
You guys are really brainwashed.
I understand we have conspiracy, but you have to separate the facts from the theory, and they be running with them. So I said, you got to be real careful, sir. And I
then
become clear.
So you're not going to say that the war on terror is all bullshit?
Who are you asking?
Everybody. The war on terror. So you
depends on what
that?
You mean by the war on terror, because the war on, you're being very broad. Because as far as acknowledging that terrorists exist in this world and that they are doing evil things, and that as a whole the world needs to come together and try to do something about this threat, or are you talking about the war in Afghanistan and the war in Iraq?
Let me answer that question to him. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe the government. I believe the government messed up because you know why I gave that final conclusion? And this is my personal opinion. Because if they, these conspiracy theorists said that, saying that this government mastermind killing their own citizens in New York from start to finish, and I say, hold up. If they were so smart, why didn't they end the whole plan by planting bombs in Iraq? If they would have planted a bomb in Iraq, they would have no criticizing. So I question them on that. And I'm letting you know I go with the facts.
Right, like why didn't they plant the WMD in Iraq?
You have people saying that real airplanes did not crash into the building. That's what you said. I'm saying, hold up. Yeah,
I've heard that.
So you got to watch out for this stuff. And these people saying, oh, join my website, $60 a month. So you got to watch out for these people, man. I'm telling you, they're gurus. They'll make their facts.
I heard people saying
that
Sandy Hook didn't.
And they'll have people going crazy.
Yeah, Sandy Hook was an inside job, too.
There's death rays.
No,
they're
saying Sandy Hook. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Death rays. That's the newest one I heard. If you're going to question 9/11, you have to question which theory you're going to go with because there's a million of them out there. Now there was like what Alpex was just talking about with no airplanes. I've heard that, and the fact that the buildings came down was due with a death ray did it and dustified the buildings. Why aren't we using this death ray in other places?
But listen, you had this guy try to chime. He says, "Oh, there was another plane crash that crashed into the Empire State Building, and that plane did not bring the Empire State Building down. So you know that proves my point." I said, "Sir, when did that happen?" And I said, "Sir, it was no commercial jet plane.
That was a small commercial plane that
crashed into the,
private
the Empire
plane.
State Building." Exactly. So you can't even compare the two. Get out of here with that shit. So
you
I think I need to go into this conspiracy business, man. They sell a lot of books and a lot of stuff, man. I might have to go into it.
Yeah, there's definitely a free market. There's definitely a free market.
Magic
for that.
Dragon. Every time I hear them talk, because it's just, I'm sorry.
Here's my question. Okay, Diva.
It's shock value, man. It's a shock value. People be going down that rabbit hole.
When they come out with the RFID, are you going to take it?
They're not. Wait a minute. What do you mean the RFID?
The RFID chip.
There has not been a law that was passed and signed by the president that says that that's going to happen.
No, I'm just asking you if it was to happen.
The Christian already know that's not a conspiracy theory. As a Christian reading the Bible, I know that that's going to have something like that's going to happen.
Oh,
so you are a
Christian.
Theory. Yes, I am a Christian.
Hold on for a minute.
You're a Christian yet look at this, but you still agree with this government and you try to uphold this corrupt system.
Dude,
but
you read the Romans? Have you read Romans 13 and what the word
I read when it says that Jesus went, he didn't like the system that was going on in the church and he didn't conform to it.
That was not a government system. That was a religious system. That was two different things.
That was a
religious system who was going about trying to saying that they are promoting a relationship between man and God, but what they were doing was keeping man and God separated through all their rules and regulations and all that, and being biased and double standards in all of that. That was completely different. You can't compare what happened.
They killed him. They killed Christ because Christ, he was against the system. He was teaching people
Christ,
out there. If you,
Christ was born to die. That's not a conspiracy either. Christ was created just for the simple fact that he was going to die to redeem man back to God. That was a prophecy. That was already written. That was supposed to happen. That wasn't a conspiracy. That wasn't something people
–
that was already in the
– something in though? I just want to say something. All this stuff they're saying, you can go on the Science Channel when they had their little specials, all these chips, all these – little things. All of this stuff, first of all, is going to be for the rich that can afford it. And number two, every time they say it, there has to be, the person has to be a willing is on. That is the fact. They never say the whole truth. All this technology is no secret. It's on the Science Channel. They bring out revolutionary stuff, and what these people will do, they'll look at the facts and they'll twist it and say, they're going to demand it on you. They're going to do this. It's an early technology, and people have to accept it or not.
Let me just say that he doesn't want
his disciples to be entangled with the ways of this world and the business.
We're not supposed to be. We are in this world, not of this world, and it's a spiritual thing. It's a mindset, meaning all this stuff that you see going on, these things that will separate us from God, we should not be partaking in that. He's not saying that we should not function as human beings living on earth. Our mind should remain in heaven and for the purpose of the kingdom of God. That's what we should be doing. We should be spreading the gospel.
Do you follow though? Do you follow the real Christ, or do you follow the Catholic?
There's only
Christ?
One Christ.
No, but a lot of people out right now that say they're Christians, they follow the Catholic Christ, the pagan Christ.
Now you're saying there's multiple Christs, and now you really confuse me even more.
I'm like, only one Christ.
I believe in a religion, and they distort the relationship between God and man.
But there's only one Christ.
And you believe in the Christ that the Catholic Church brought unto you.
Are you talking about, do I believe Jesus was blonde hair and blue eye? No, I don't.
No, not only regarding that, but do you believe in the Trinity?
Yes, I do believe in the Trinity. I believe in the Trinity because the Bible speaks of a Trinity, not because of the Catholic Church saying that there's a Trinity.
Give me one Bible verse where it says the word Trinity.
The Father, the God, and the Son. I mean, Trinity is just a man-made word for those
just
three.
I want to hear the word Trinity in the Bible.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Okay. All right. You people stuck on your words. You take me. Just because they say the Trinity doesn't mean they're not speaking of the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Just because that word is all right, so you don't have to use the word Trinity if you don't like it. They can take away Trinity and it still mean the same thing. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
But how is that a Trinity?
Trinity means three, but you guys believe that those three are all in one, though. Yes, I do, and I believe that because
that's
what Jesus said, not because of the Catholic.
But you believe it's one person. You don't believe it's the actual Son of Christ. I mean, Christ is the Son of God.
Yes, I do believe that Christ is the Son of God. I also believe that Christ is God incarnate. So,
no, that was his son he sent down there.
I'm sorry, what? Say it again?
It was his son. It wasn't him. It wasn't God himself. Because then why would Christ look up to the skies and be like, oh, God, why have y'all forsaken me?
Oh, let's see. When you are incarnate, what is incarnation?
What does it mean when they say that they were one?
Well, listen,
they worshiping.
I want to ask you a question.
You didn't hear me. What does it mean when he said, "Me and my Father are one"? I'm just asking that question.
Listen, the Catholic people, they started Christianity, the Pope and them. And now it teaches you to go worship in like the three deities from Egypt.
No, I'm going back to what she just said. She says she understands that, but she's saying that they are one. She said that they're the same, reincarnated. And then when are you saying that, man? Is that where you're getting that from?
No, they're not the same one. Christ is different than God.
What does it mean when they say? When Jesus says Father and I are one, the Holy Trinity is Isis, Osiris, and Horus. Hold on. Here's the thing. If you're going to educate somebody, you're going to have to answer the questions that they're lobbing at you so they can get a better understanding. What did Christ mean when he said, "My Father and I are one"?
Yeah, you never answered that question.
Christ is basically saying that's basic. You got to compare that to like real, to like people, human beings too. sometimes as you know how they say, as father, as how the kid is the same as the father, because when you're a father, you're supposed to teach, you know, and pass on the same things to your kid. So God, I mean,
when you say that
Christ,
me and this person are one,
they had the same views. They had the same views, basically.
I'm trying to help you out, Deep. I mean, I'm not even with it. I mean, I'm trying to help you out, but he's not answering the question. I'm just trying to help
I am answering the question right now. They have the same views, basically. He's saying God sent Christ, you know, to spread his message on earth. And they had the same, you know, he had the same message of God, you know. So basically it's like they were asking him, oh, when are you going to show me the Father?
What was the message? What was the message?
Why are you going away from what we're talking about? Now she wants to spread.
Not going away from what we're talking about. You're trying to make this about Christianity and Catholicism when Christianity supersedes Catholicism. Yes, the word Christianity is okay. We could throw that out.
The Trinity comes from Isis, Osiris, and Horus.
But it's still the same thing.
Listen. The Trinity comes from Isis, Osiris, and Horus.
No, it does not. The Trinity, the word Trinity comes from whatever, but the ideal of the Trinity comes from the word itself. The Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
It's not the same person, though. It's three different deities.
Okay. Well, we don't worship them as three different deities.
Let me ask you something. I just want to say something. Hold on. Are you saying, like, hold on? I mean, I'm one person, but I got many titles, though.
Exactly.
I am a father. I am a son. You can be a father
exactly.
and a son at the same
no,
time.
No, it's not.
Yes, you can. You mean to tell me, Diva? Diva can be a mother and she can be a daughter at the same time.
And I'm a sister. I am. I'm a mother.
And a sister.
I'm a daughter.
And you can
and
cousin.
I'm a sister.
Right. Oh, that's not how it is.
And a student. And you the student. You wear many titles. You wear many titles. And you're one person.
No, all facts. You can't see what I'm trying to tell you. It's different. It's not all
but
in one house.
The fact of the matter is, the reason why Christ is in the flesh and the Holy Spirit is spirit and God is still spirit is because Jesus is God manifested in flesh form. That is in the word.
So if Christ was God, then why was God looking up saying, oh, why have you forsaken me?
I have conversations with my other self too at times. I don't want to admit that. I do ask myself, as a mother, how as a daughter of my mother, I have conversations with myself too. But you have to understand the context of that. When someone is reincarnated, they take on their own. You see, he had his own flesh. He was God incarnated, but yet he was still his own man. He was still a man. He was still flesh and blood.
I'm just letting you know that the Egyptians, they placed that story, the Catholic Church.
That's
so that
fine.
People
that you
believe.
Can believe that. I don't believe
and they
that.
Believe, and you know when they say Jesus, Jesus is Zeus for the Greek.
Well, his biblical name, his Hebrew name is not even Jesus, okay? Let's just keep that his Hebrew.
Okay,
his,
but I'm just letting you know
his,
the story
his
that the Christians
name
are putting
is,
out there. That the
his
Catholics
name
are
in Hebrew
out.
Is Yeshua. We translated Yeshua to mean Jesus. So, yes, we could stop using Jesus, but Jesus will still be the same person. Whether he's Jesus or Yeshua or some other name, he'll still be the same person.
Okay, Diva.
Yeah, because no,
what
no,
are you,
no,
Diva?
I
Diva, here's
no,
my question.
What,
no, hey, all
saying,
facts.
Look.
Listen, all facts.
Okay.
Because
I want to prove my point about language.
All facts. Here's my point to this girl. She says she's a Christian. Hey, what do you believe that? You know, in order to be to go to heaven or whatever, what do you believe that you gotta like go that you gotta do according to the Bible?
Let's see. I believe it's John. I want to say John 4:16. Let me pull it up. No one comes to the Father but through me. So that means you have to first accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Lord and Savior. Once you accept him as your Lord and Savior, then you are connected to the Godhead. You have formed a relation and a connection to God. So when you die, you will go to heaven.
So also, and you can just sin. You can just go out and sin.
Yes, because if you sin, you're also going to repent. See, that's the thing about Christians, believers, whatever you want to call them. When we sin, we get caught in our sin. We also are corrected through the Holy Spirit. When
so you could like
have
that
correction.
You believe you
when we have that correction,
one night stand and shit like that, like you could go out.
Yes,
drink.
You can. Yes, you can have a one night stand. But there, the beauty is you can repent from having a one night stand and be forgiven of that and go to heaven.
But did you intend to have that one night stand? See. Because I'm going to let you know I'm
nah,
a free motherfucker. I'm just going to let you know that I'm not with that. I'm listening to y'all, but shit, I'm just being honest. I can't, you know, I'm just going to let
Diva,
you know.
Hey, Diva, it says that you are saved by grace, right?
You are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, which, yes, is grace.
Okay, but you know that grace, even like when you got to pay a bill, they even has a certain time, like a grace period. So you
Lord,
saved,
have
but...
mercy. Now you want to compare
well,
a spiritual
no.
thing with a human
well,
aspect.
Well, you could only
there is no expiration on grace. Some people may think that, but there is no expiration because if that was the case, we'd still be under the law.
We are not under the law.
Jesus is the law. Everything about the law pointed to Jesus. When he said... You talk about the Sabbath. I am the Sabbath. The purpose of the Sabbath was to bring man closer to God.
But why do you worship on Sunday? Why do you worship on Sunday?
It's a day.
Well,
it can
you know
be Wednesday. It can be
Sunday,
it can be Wednesday.
Worshiping.
It can be Tuesday. To me, worship doesn't matter. Having
when
the when I know where you're going. You're talking about the Sabbath. But guess what? Jesus is the Sabbath. So since I have a relationship with Christ, I celebrate the Sabbath every single day. Because that's all the Sabbath
you guys
was.
Worship on
because establishing that's what you're failing to realize is that all of the scripture pointed to
yeah,
Jesus
in the Bible,
Christ. It pointed
to
a relationship.
In the Bible, he did challenge Moses about marriage. But I just want to say something. Listen, when you talk
it's
about names, is this a listen? Well, yes. Well, he said when Moses said this, but I
no,
said
it wasn't
you,
Moses.
Well,
it was.
No,
the,
but, no, we talked about marriage.
So he poured.
No, David, when he talked about marriage and other things, when the Pharisees, they were coming with Moses laws and he was challenged. But I just want to say this. When we're talking about pronouncing a particular person two different types of names, well, that's just language. It happens all the time. It's a different sounding of word to describe the same particular person or the same particular thing. We do it all the time. Because people speak in different languages. Like someone can say uno, I can say one. That means we get the same visualization of the number one. Numero uno, the number one. Same thing. So when people get caught up in these names, as long as you know exactly who you're referring to that reference, we do it all the time. But the problem is when we make the same sounding of word, pictured two different things, which to me personally is confusing. We should have a different sounding word to everything on earth. It shouldn't be
you can't call them by a pagan name because then you'll be worshiping the name in a way.
Well, what do you
but
mean?
But you're not
pagan?
Worshiping the name. You're not worshiping
like
the
you
name. You're worshiping.
Well, you know, the definition of pagan, though. The definition of pagan
Zeus,
is
Zeus, when you say Zeus,
we are.
That's for the Greek god Zeus.
All religious people believe in some type of paganism, symbolism, having ceremonies, having rituals, wearing certain types of clothes, having certain type of tradition. All of that is the definition of paganism. We all have some type of form of it. Factually. Now, if you research paganism, they'll say mostly classical
Dude,
Roman
why
stuff.
Why do you think they
but
even
hey,
you heard that song?
Factually,
you heard that song?
You
don't even know it. You heard that song?
Listen, if you go back before even in Genesis and even in ancient Egypt, if you look at their traditions and what their actions was, they practiced some type of paganism by definition.
Are you Diva?
Yes.
So, you heard that song, though, that you won't even know it?
By who?
It's by Rocco.
No, I don't know who that is.
It says you won't even know it, but that's how Satan operates. Like, you'll be worshiping Satan thinking you're worshiping Christ, and you'll be worshiping Satan, and you won't even know it.
But the one
when
thing
you
I
get
can
in
see, bro,
the realm, all these this other stuff, and stop for when you focus on everything else other than Christ and His words, what do you think you're doing?
I'm just
because
letting you know that
you don't
that
know
you
about
do.
Christ. You know you don't know about Christ other than what the Word of God tells you, the Bible. So if when people say yes, I believe in Christ,
yeah,
I'm calling the Bible, you're contradicting yourself because that's the only way you're gonna know about Jesus Christ. Because you don't know about him in any other religion as far as him being your savior. So you're contradicting
yeah,
yourself.
I want
and words has not take away nor add
questions.
To this. That's
see,
exactly
can
what
you ask
you're doing.
Him the same question that he asked you. What does he believe? I mean, turn it all around on him. What do you believe, sir? I mean, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? What do you think he did? Answer, no, I'm not answering questions, bro.
Why you mean, oh, no, now you're chickening out. No, you're not going to check. Now, hold up. I don't define men, but I'm letting you, that is unmanly, like, for you to question this beautiful woman here and cross-examine her, and she was on the stand. And now you saying, no, you
and
don't want to do that. What does that say about you, man?
Nah,
ahead,
Diva's
Diva.
Cool, you know, she's cool,
here's
but
Diva.
I think she's
no,
a little brainwashed by the system. You know, system been brainwashing her to believe something that, you know,
what
the
system?
Christian.
She wants to see if you brainwashed. Well, I think so.
Hey, let me, Diva, you know, these Christian churches, they get paid. They get paid by the government because they don't get taxed. They're under the
see,
501c3.
There's your conspiracy theories. I mean, just because I have a 501c organization and it's tax exempt doesn't mean the government
has
to be
preaching that Mark of the Beast stuff. You know, when you're preaching that and you got like a big following, you can't be preaching that.
What does that have to do with the word and the belief in Christ? What does that have to do with anything? First off, I didn't grow up in the church, so I don't. When people talk about all this stuff, I don't know what they're talking about. Because my mind is focused on the Word. It's not focused on all this other stuff and all this extra stuff that's going on happening in the church.
Yeah, because don't you have to get it for yourself? I mean, really, like,
yes, you
I'm
have to get it
to
for yourself.
Guys, and I'm saying this is the problem. You have people calling themselves quote-unquote Christians, and the quote-unquote Christians fight over this. And then at the end of the day, everybody going to live the way they want to live at the end of the way, Diva. Factual. Come on now.
Yeah, you're right about that, bro. But
it gets
got
crazy,
message.
Though, man.
You just got to
what's your take on it? I mean, you said you believe in the Bible. What's your take? How do you think people get to heaven? That's all I want
to
know.
Hey, bro, well, the designers, they claim to be Israelites, but they're not Israelites. The people in Israel right now, they're not the real Israelites.
Oh, you're one of those people. Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
I kind of picture. I kind of figure.
Everything.
One of
look,
those
now
people.
Now you pointing center, huh? Now you pointing center, Diva. Now you know how the world coming from. Wow.
I know. You're one of them people. Okay, I get you. I get where you're coming from. I think y'all a little kooky because all y'all facts aren't adding up. But, hey, it's okay.
Oh, no. Hey, I mean, the same Bible that you read, but I don't know which one you read. You read King James?
They're all the same.
Oh, they're all the same? Not because certain people change up the words. So when they change up
the
words,
what's meaning
the
in
King
the context
James?
Is the same. Instead of saying thou, they just say you.
Oh, one word
instead
can change the whole meaning.
They just say the or you. Instead of fortnight, 2 weeks. Sea night, 7 days. So I'm trying to figure out where this disconnect is. Language has changed over the centuries. So you would think the Bible has to be revised to meet the way our language is spoken today. The context is still the same.
You know what you strike me as, though? Like some of the people that be saying, man, I just believe that I can just go out and sin all the time and I'm still going to be saved because they don't want to really, like, admit that the law, like, it still exists because they don't want to really follow the law like that.
We are not under the law. That's the thing. No, people who feel like they could go out and do anything are confused. And they have not gone through the transformation because then you get, there are several stages. You have salvation,